talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right, guys. It's a work day, and you guys work here, so let's go do some work.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It was the biggest mistake of my life. I was all by myself. I was sending a boyfriend at the time who I loved and cared about, video of me. And, yeah, I was a teenager at the time. And, never did I think it would ever come out. But it was bad judgment, and it's embarrassing.
I honestly believe that she was programmed by someone from the future to come back and destroy all happiness.
I am a guy, and I like fire and playing hockey and eating meat.
Well, I think we all can agree on the fact that you.
Haven't you ever messed with a man's head just to see what you could get him to do for you?
That's another happy thought.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Good morning. Can you make it through Friday?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over.
What?
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
I don't see or like where this is going.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dick.
Punk ass bitch.
Roll another one.
What's going on with your pants here?
Just like the other one.
Whoa!
This one seems to be about to end.
I'm an F-18, bro.
I don't have another cent.
Jokes are fun and funny, but when they're at the expense of someone, they're just mean.
Hello, I'm Robert Redford.
Just pass it around.
Hey, shut up.
I love the Kevin and Bean Show.
Just pass it on down.
And now.
Please, let him lose. Shake him for freedom, shake him for freedom. Let him lose, let him hang out. And shake him for freedom, Lisa. Come on, Lisa, make.
Our feature presentation.
I think I'm with that guy.
They don't hang at all.
But let him loose.
I may just point out.
No, he's just saying let
him
loose.
But there's no hanging.
All right. It's even better.
I'm totally with that guy. If you loved America as much as you claim to, you right. Tommy sympathizer, you would let him loose and you would shake him for freedom.
That's true.
God damn you, Lisa. Now I'm furious at you.
I don't remember ever saying I loved America, first of all.
Oh, wow.
I'm not saying I don't.
That's
I'm just saying I don't remember saying
it. Your actions say you don't.
Oh, I see.
Because if you loved America, you'd let him loose.
Let him loose and shake him
right.
for
shake
freedom.
Shake him for freedom.
Shake him for freedom.
All right. Well, now I don't even want to get all sexy with Lisa, now that I know that she's practically the second coming of Osama bin Laden. But listen. When I ask how your boner is, it's only polite for you to come back and ask me how my boner is. But that hasn't been happening so far.
Yeah, let's not make that happen.
How's boner?
Boner's great. How's your boner?
Thank you. That's all I was looking for. Just a little courtesy. Wow. A little courtesy. Lisa's dog is named Boner.
Yes.
That's why I'm asking.
I just think you're terrific.
Hey, it is Friday. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. We got a lot of stuff going on. But I want to start with this. You know how from time to time we'll talk about a guy, we'll see a guy in the news, and this happens all too frequently, where he gets fired from work.
Right.
And he's furious because he knows what a good employee he is. He knows that he's the kind of guy who can be trusted. He knows the kind of guy who is a valuable asset to the company. And they are making a huge mistake to let him go. So what does he do? He goes home and he gets his gun. He comes back and he shoots up the place and kills a bunch of people. That's how he proves to them that they made a terrible mistake in firing him. Right.
And then they all go, hey, we shouldn't have let that guy go. He really had a lot going on.
It reminds me a little bit of this. This story came out of Georgia. Here's a guy who's working at the Taco Bell restaurant there, and he, is sweet on somebody else who works there. He's interested in going out with her. He's Jason Dean, 24 years old. There's an 18-year-old named Rebecca that works there that he loves.
All right.
So he keeps asking her out, And you know what that's like, Lisa. There's a fine line between persistence and annoyance.
Oh, yeah.
And at a certain point, you go, I'm not going to go out with you no matter how many times you ask. So please, it's just embarrassing and sad, and I'm uncomfortable. I don't like it. Well, he continued to ask her out. It's getting on like 2 months now. He's still asking her out.
But most girls are too nice to say what you just said.
Right.
Most girls are too nice to say, it's never going to happen. Stop asking. You know what I mean? They just right. try to deflect or whatever.
You think they there are some girls who come up with an excuse why they can't go out that particular time they're being asked
sure.
every single time. Oh, I wish I could, but because I've got the neighbors. I've got to watch feelings. The neighbor's house.
And because you're working with this person and you don't want it to be uncomfortable.
Right.
That's a good point.
And maybe people know you too well, so you can't invent a boyfriend or something.
That's an excellent
point. So you're
kind
of screwed, yeah.
So I got to the point where Rebecca, I mean, it wasn't considered stalking or anything, but, you know, they did see each other naturally because they worked together. So Rebecca changed her shift at work, went to the manager and said, hey, could you schedule me opposite Jason so he can't ask me out anymore?
That's pretty
so,
smart.
Good idea, right?
Yeah.
Well, apparently Jason shows up at work when Rebecca is getting off of work, and he decides he's going to jump out of the car and handcuff her to him.
Oh, no. See, now the line is well before that.
Is it?
Yeah. He's crossed the line a long time before the handcuffs. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Bean? Definitely crossed the line.
Did we lose Bean?
Yeah, we did. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
I think the line is before handcuffs. I'm saying anytime there's handcuffs involved, in any story.
If it's even thought of.
Yes.
Yeah, you're
that
over the
line
already.
Has been crossed.
Yeah, definitely.
And perhaps that guy should go to jail or something else. Because nobody should have to get off work. You've now worked an 8-hour shift, and now you're being
handcuffed.
To a
either,
guy that you don't like.
Either he needs to be arrested, or I finally see the light and see that he is, in fact, the love of my life.
Yeah, I doubt it. I doubt it. I don't
it could
think,
happen.
I don't think the handcuffs are going to turn your
Whoa,
mind around.
Oh, you're into handcuffs? Hey, why didn't you tell me?
Now I'm totally into you.
You
this
are
is great.
H-O-T.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall
okay.
we? We have a brand new Bean's Death Corner. He's very excited about that. Bean gets excited as Death Corner comes around.
Loves death.
A couple of days ahead, he starts getting a little giddy
yep.
as he plans his stories.
Hey, what happened?
I don't know. You went away. How
God
do we know?
Turned you off.
That was weird.
God said, stop talking.
Enough with the handcuffs.
Did you have more on the handcuff story? Because we've determined that the handcuffs are across the line.
Yes, the handcuffs are across the line.
Okay.
The story was going to end with the co-workers managed to talk him out of it and release the girl, undo the handcuffs, and leave. But then, of course, they instantly called the police, and they called and arrested the dude, and he's in jail. But it
sure.
was just so weird because I said, you know, I think the handcuffs, I don't think that's too far. I think that's pretty reasonable.
Right.
And then I just sat there, and I heard nothing back, and I thought,
right.
uh-oh, that's not going over well. They're making notes.
No.
And then I looked out and realized we had somehow been disconnected. And here's the funny thing about that. Then I see Beer Mug, who could not walk more slowly
what?
To try to go in and take a look at what was going on.
I was Speedy Gonzales, man.
He is the opposite of Speedy Gonzales,
yes,
if there is such
he
a
is.
Thing.
Come on.
It was just hilarious to see him strolling. He'd stop to scratch, and he'd get a toothpick and chew on that for a while. A
couple push-ups.
It was just, it was insane. I didn't even get a chance to play this.
How's Taco Bell going to make money off of that?
It was really the only reason I did the whole story in the first place.
Too bad.
All right, I'm sure you've moved on, and now you're talking about today's
talking
phenomenal
about
show.
Today's Kevin and Bean Show, Bean's Death Corner.
Yes.
Yes, looking forward to that.
We mentioned how happy that seems to make you.
I love death. Death is awesome.
We have David Koechner.
Oh, he's great.
I love the Keck.
Yes.
Funny actor in Final Destination 5. We'll talk to him.
Okay.
We have our second favorite, Jimmy, in late night TV, Jimmy Fallon.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Who also is terrific, by the way.
Talking
love Jimmy.
He's got a book. It's sort of a pamphlet, but... He's got a book, he's got ice cream, and he's got stand-up. And
I'm confused.
It's all, he wants to promote it all, so there seems to be a lot to talk to Jimmy Fallon about.
Okay.
Got a lot going on, all right?
Best Saturday morning cartoons we're going to have a discussion about. You're going to have
Did we get a lot of emails on that yesterday after we started talking about Hong Kong Phooey.
You're going to have to talk to, you're going to have to get past Ralph, because Ralph does know all Saturday morning cartoons.
It's and freaky.
I believe he has them ranked in the order of importance. So good luck with that. We have the movie beat because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We have LaQuisha talking about Jersey Shore.
Oh, great. God bless LaQuisha.
From last night.
Yes.
Love that.
Why? Because she does it so you don't have to watch?
Exactly.
You guys are crazy. That show's the best.
Did you watch it last night?
I didn't watch it last night. I didn't have time, but I tape it and I do watch it because
right.
it's just, it's... I don't know. It just makes me feel like I'm a higher human being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a higher level.
That's a good point. It's like watching Planet of the Apes, really.
Right. Exactly. And we have Penn Jillette in studio.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So he's got a new book out.
He's one of the five smartest people I've ever talked to in my life.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah,
and he spends the whole first chapter talking about how not smart he is and the people that he looks up to as being smart.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I can't hang with Penn. I don't even want to know who he's looking up to.
I know. When he comes in the studio, not only is he physically imposing, he can crush me in a second.
Yeah, he's a genius. He really is.
He's so smart. It's like he's got a sword and I have a toothpick. And that's not fun. No. I don't enjoy
that. Why are we letting him in?
Because he's wildly entertaining.
All right.
Doesn't matter if he's smarter than us. He's got a new book called God No. So we will talk to him about that as well. We will take a quick break and come back with a showbiz beat. That's next.
Finally Friday. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Funny man Kevin Nealon, one of our favorites, joining us after the top of the hour here on the show. Right now, Ralph Garman's got the showbiz beat. How you doing, Ralph?
Oh, concerned, scared.
Uh-oh.
Right?
I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't either.
About what?
Well, you've heard the news. You're upset, too, I'm sure, that the iCarly tour bus had an accident yesterday.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was an iCarly tour bus.
I didn't know there was an iCarly until I read this story. Miranda Cosgrove, star of iCarly, was touring yesterday when her tour bus hit an overturned tractor trailer yesterday morning.
That seems bad.
It is very bad. It happened outside of Vandalia, Illinois. Some minor injuries. Miranda suffered a broken ankle. That's all bad news. The good news is her Dancing Crazy tour has been postponed until further notice, so we all dodged a bullet there.
Dancing Crazy tour.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the name of it. You upset?
I'm glad she's all right, but
you
know.
You guys seem a little...
We're okay. We're taking it in stride.
Yeah, you guys seem a little nonchalant.
Pretty mellow.
Given the bomb I just dropped.
We're cool.
All right.
I think I may still be in shock. I think it may hit me later.
All right. That may be what it is.
Is she old enough for being to perv on?
I don't know. That's what
I'm
I was thinking,
perving
too.
On her.
We should check. Several of my jokes here. We'll have to check that out.
Producer Alex, could you do an IMDb birthday check, please, on Miranda Cosgrove for us?
I would guess old enough, but I don't know.
There's some good news. Looks like they've chosen the master of ceremonies for the Comedy Central Charlie Sheen roast. It'll be none other than my buddy Seth MacFarlane. Seth MacFarlane will serve as Roastmaster General for Charlie Sheen.
That makes me want to watch it, but I don't want to watch it.
Yeah. Seth has already hosted the David Hasselhoff and the Donald Trump roasts.
And he's really good at it.
He's really good at it, yeah. So it's good stuff.
You guys want the update?
Yes, please.
May 14th, 1993. So that makes her what?
18.
19.
18
or 19. All I know is over 18.
18.
That's all I know.
It's got to be.
All right. Let's keep away.
Well, unless she was born late. What was it?
May 14th.
May. Oh, May.
We're past her birthday. Yeah.
Woohoo!
So.
Oh, I want a boner so much.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ralph. Hold on. She's one day away from 18. What are you saying?
I want to buy her a lollipop.
I want a phoner. So I just wanted a phoner.
So hard being right there on the cusp.
It is.
Sad news for hair band fans. Janie Lane, former lead singer for the band Warrant, is dead.
No, 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 no.
What happened?
We're going to have to pull some cherry pie for later, I think. She's my cherry pie, 40 feet tall and just got one thigh.
What?
That's probably not the
lyrics. How it goes?
Probably not.
I don't recognize that.
Found dead last night in a motel in Woodland Hills. No good can come from any of that in that story.
No.
What's a guy? Now he has to live in Southern California. What's a guy like that doing in a motel in Woodland Hills? It's either drugs or hookers, right?
Yeah. I'm guessing drugs. He's had a history of substance abuse problems. He's got a couple DUIs and some other issues. Janie was 47 years old. No official cause of death has been released. I was fascinated to find out while doing the research on the Janie Lane death that his real name is John Kennedy Oswald.
What?
That's honked up.
What on every level?
That's honked
up. He was born after the assassination.
So it's not a coincidence.
It's not a coincidence, but his parents, being Oswalds, must have felt so bad about it that they decided to put another John Kennedy in the world because an Oswald took one out. That's the only reason I can imagine.
Wow, maybe it's his relative, though.
You think Lee Harvey's like a cousin or something?
I don't know.
Well,
Why would that automatically make someone name the person he killed then?
I think it's
less likely that they're actually related. And more, they said, oh, that guy has the same name as us. That assassin has the same name as us. We got to do something to honor the passing of the president.
This guy didn't exactly replace...
He did. He was doing drugs and then hookers in a motel.
Well, okay.
And he wrote Cherry Pie, too. Right. Come on.
And Heaven. Need
from somebody. Yeah. And Heaven. Now he knows what Heaven's all about, right?
Oh, come on.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Too soon. Why did Barack Obama chime in on that story?
He just approves. Heaven? He approves.
Well, I'm just wondering.
It's just his approval that we seek.
You guys hear that Roseanne Barr is running for president?
Yeah, again.
Here we go.
Again? Really? She did this before?
Yeah, she has.
Have you seen a picture of her lately?
Yeah.
Oh, cuckoo, yeah.
Cuckoo.
She has not taken care of herself.
The beautiful Roseanne Barr has slipped a few rungs on the ladder. Is that what you're saying, Kevin?
I'm saying if whatever memory comes to your mind right now about the way she used to look, she's a 10 compared to what she is now.
But who can afford to let themselves go more?
Yeah, I agree.
It's perfect. If you are a fat, unattractive person your whole life, you really can't do any damage by just doing whatever you want. Get as fat as you want. Just doing whatever the hell you want to yourself.
And yet...
No loss.
And yet somehow she has.
No, I disagree.
It's much worse amount.
If you see like a stunner. You know, somebody's a supermodel or something. The next thing you know, you look at them and they look like they've been... You know, face full of acid. You don't... That's the real loss. We didn't lose anything with Roseanne. It's all good.
That's true. It's not like there's one less hot person in the world, is Ralph's point.
Same.
I agree.
Same. It's a wash.
Same, just worse.
And she's very useful. She's making macadamia nuts.
Yep.
She's raising macadamia nuts.
I bet she'll win the presidency. What do you think?
I think so, too.
Her platform is legalizing pot, Ralph? Is that what they're talking about?
And doing away with all taxes, which I think is a very... very clever idea.
That sounds like sound fiscal policy.
I think so, yes. Just no more taxes.
Okay.
Think that would cause problems anywhere? Anyone?
Well, the government has so much money in surplus right now that we could probably go for a number of years without any additional revenues.
They wouldn't miss it.
I'm an official economist, but I think I approve.
Before I get, maybe Barack Obama has something to say. Maybe he is.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
My drum business, Mr. President. Before I get to celebrity birthdays, I want to give away some passes to the Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Fright Night. Happens on Tuesday, August the 16th. If you'd like to go, I've got two pairs of passes right now. 1-800-520-1067 for the advanced screening of Fright Night. It looks like to be a great horror comedy. I really enjoyed the original with Roddy McDowall and William Ragsdale. And now it's Anton Yelchin plays a young man who finds out that a clan of vampires move in next door to him. The head vampire, Colin Farrell. So he and former Doctor Who, David Tennant, take up arms against the vampires, and I'm guessing they win.
I love Colin Farrell, though, in the trailer, because it looks like all of the things that you know about vampires, the way to kill them and all that kind of stuff, he just discounts that. It's like, F you.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Casey Affleck. Brother of Ben is 36 years old.
Boy, hasn't he surprised us with the career turn he's had the last few years, right?
Actor and director in his own right. Very talented guy. Rebecca Gayhart is 40 years old. Michael Ian Black celebrates his 40th as well. Peter Krause is 46 years old. And Sir Mix-a-Lot!
Yeah!
Sir Mix-a-Lot's 48 years old today. We might need to break off a little Baby Got Back. What do you think?
That guy does love big butts, and he can't lie.
Really? From you, Kevin? I expect it from Bean, but
you? You said we're going to have to break off this. I said, come on now.
I know, but you're working the lyrics into the conversation.
But the same conversation you're having.
I'm with Kevin on that one.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Well, then you got beer mug on your side, Kevin. That's all you need to know.
All right, file.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Monday, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll be rolling out details for you on our latest Breakfast With. You know how we do. Huge band, small place. You're invited to help us ask the questions. So we got those details for you on Monday coming up. Dave Koechner, one of our favorites, coming up from Final Destination 5 in minutes. First, though, Lisa May, you're going to be very excited.
Yes.
Your new little dog at home, your new rescue dog, Boner. We've got him on the phone. His first appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show.
How about that?
He's such a smart little dog.
Is he?
Yes.
Hey, Boner. Boner?
That's Boner.
Hey, Boner.
Hey, how you doing?
First of all, I can't believe I just yelled out loud, hey, Boner. But second of all...
That's not the first time you've yelled that out.
you are a chihuahua, right? That's what I thought.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you're aware, but we had a long conversation before you were named Boner.
Yeah.
And it all started with Bean wanting to name you Orangey.
Yeah.
And that seemed bad, so we took listeners.
Really? Orangey didn't seem like a good name.
We took listeners' suggestions, and it was Mexicutioner and Machete and stuff like that, but we ended up with Boner.
Hey, you know what? I'm not even Mexican, all right? It's just a breed.
Okay,
I'm not
your
from Mexico.
No, that's
I don't
true.
Speak Mexican.
Okay, but we didn't pick that. We picked Boner.
I don't eat Taco Bell. All right. I don't practice Santeria. I ain't got no crystal ball. So I want to just back off the Mexican thing, okay?
All right.
Okay, but let me ask you this.
It's like, you know, a friend of yours is Irish. You don't give him a long pipe and a green derby and tell him to watch a pot of gold for you. I mean, it's just heritage, right?
I've done that.
Okay. It's a stereotype. I see what you're saying.
Yes.
But don't you see the irony in the fact that Lisa named you Boner about 2 days after she had your testicles cut off? Because now there aren't going to be any boners.
All right. Strike that joke off the list.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know Boner.
Why would I have a big chunk about genitals and being and having my balls taken off?
Hey, what do you think about the name Boner?
Why would I have that ready? Why would I prepare that material? I'm just going to sit back and let Bean do the rest
of
the
thing. How can Boner already hate Bean?
What else is going on in Boner's life?
Boner's so cranky. He's so sweet at home.
Boner, you're so sweet at home.
Bean, why is Boner so angry?
I wouldn't have any idea. I'm sorry, but
sounds like you had a big chunk of material ready. I'd love to hear it.
What do you think about being named Boner? Is there any irony to that decision?
You tell me. you've thought this out extensively. You've got a bunch of material ready. I'd love to hear more. I'm looking forward to being entertained. Go.
Boner hates Bean immediately.
I know. I'm surprised
first time
Boner's
we've ever
not
talked.
A woman.
Boner, you're making the right decision. Is that the noise you make all day long?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh.
Hey,
it's,
Boner,
but it's so small. It's not that loud.
I do have this question. When you were at the pound and you were waiting to be rescued and people come in and they go and they take another dog instead of you, it has to hurt your feelings. And then Lisa shows up, you got to be thinking, my God, I've just won the lottery. I can't believe I'm going home with this chick, right?
I just heard good things about her. She's very popular in the dog world.
What, is that right?
Yes. She's got a great reputation of letting you do whatever the F you want.
Right.
I heard
that's
the other
true.
Dog she had would get up on the bed while she was humping dudes.
That's correct.
You could poop in her house. She wouldn't even care. And occasionally she'd take you for a walk and run you into a pole. But for the most part, she just kind of live and let live. You got to do whatever the hell you want. And that's my kind of lady.
Yeah, Boner last night.
She's not big on training.
On getting into bed.
Yep.
And Boner's in charge.
Well, that's right. It's my house, bitch.
Yeah.
Boner, do you feel like...
I mean that in the dog sense, not in, like, the angry way.
Do you feel like you run the house now, like it really is yours?
I don't know. That's Bean, do I? What do you got?
Bean, what do you think? Does Boner feel like he owns a house?
I think Boner sounds like the kind of dog who would take over. Yes, I do. He sounds like he's not short on self-esteem, I think.
So, I can't wait to see Bean and just bite his ankles off.
Cage the Elephant, also Audio Slave, Social Distortion, and Sublime. Hard to believe, coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday actor, David Koechner, in minutes. You know, he maybe isn't the guy you would expect to see in Final Destination 5 that comes out today, right?
No, he's funny.
He's hilarious, but usually they just have, like, CW attractive people in a movie like
that's
this.
That's true. The beautiful people. Yeah.
The beautiful people are the ones that get killed, which is why I'm so grateful I wasn't born one of the beautiful people, because now I'll live forever. But, Dave, King of Mexico, you're in the studio. You're a Final Destination fan. What's up?
Oh, nope. Dave loves it so much.
Uh-uh.
Here's the thing about Dave. He's like a little kid when it comes to scary movies. Like, he will not watch scary movies.
I won't either.
You won't either?
Nope.
Not just a little kid. I think I'm a pussy when it comes to scary movies.
Yeah, like, I love them so much. I want to be scared so much. But here's the funny thing. Dave, as a job, he works here at the radio station. He hosted a marathon where they showed 1, 2, and 3 when 3 came out.
Oh, my God.
And
I was the right guy for that job, by the way.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So Dave's hosting, and he's saying hi to everybody. He's welcoming them, and they all go in. They all sit down. And then they start showing all three movies. And then what, Dave?
I walk out and sit in the lobby with the street team.
He sits in the lobby.
Dave
sat in the lobby.
Hours.
Are you serious?
Dave sat in the lobby for 6 hours because he didn't want to watch any of the movies.
And I was getting paid to be there, by the way.
You know,
these
at
movies
that point,
they're so good, though.
They are.
They're really so clever. They're so well done.
And you know what they also are? Gory and scary and,
you're such
exciting.
A wuss.
Yeah.
You're such
Dave, listen, Dave has sand in his vagina again.
Listen, I'm not denying it. I'm a pussy when it comes to scary movies. So, you know,
What can I do about that?
You sat in the lobby
in the
for
lobby.
6 hours.
All yeah, right.
We have Dave Koechner. Let's get to him.
Get to a good Dave.
Let's do that.
Hi, this is David Koechner.
Where is Michael Snot sniffing some dude's thong?
Probably. A lot of people like an astronaut training to that of the restaurant management training, and you do not have the right stuff. Get out of my sight.
Hey, I can't quit you. No. Hey, did you hear about that movie, Brokeback Mountain? Yeah, a lot of controversy, huh? Yeah, they do a lot of smoking.
To prepare for this character, I had to read the script, and then I showed up. I don't do backstory. I don't really act. I just look at the words and go, how do they come out?
I don't know why, but I can't enjoy breakfast anywhere but a strip club. My mom used to always cook bacon naked. She would cook bacon all day long.
I love you, Ron, and I want to be with you like men.
All right. Hey, what is up for the radio?
I would love to be radio. Yeah. No radio! I have something to say to Ron! Say it! Chip Burgundy, say it!
Tostada.
He is one of the very, very best, whether it's in the Naked Trucker Tebow Show on Hannah Montana or in the new film opening everywhere today called Final Destination 5. Ladies and gentlemen, David Koechner back on the show. Mr. Koechner.
Good morning. I want that clip reel just to be my entire interview.
You want us to play it again?
We're worried about eating up all of your time, but we feel like a guy like you deserves a big intro. That's all. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Thank you. Always a treat to talk to you guys.
How do they pick David Koechner to be in Final Destination 5?
Well, Steve Quayle is the director. He's worked with James Cameron for 23 years. He's brilliant. He really is. He's a guy that understands the technicalities and intricacies of film masterfully.
Right.
And he wanted to make sure that he injected some humor into this picture.
All right.
He knew that would be an added bonus. And so it's pretty subtle, all the jokes. They come from character. They're not really written jokes. He let me improvise a little bit to help goose it here and there. But, you know, for me, I thought, wow, how cool to work in a different genre. I can go from Hannah Montana to Final Destination 5. That's not too bad. That's covering the whole outfield, I think.
I agree.
Yeah, that's being an actor, man. That's every day getting to put on a different suit and go to work. I love that. Now, did you have any kind of familiarity at all with these movies? Is this something that was even in your wheelhouse personally as a fan?
To be honest, no. I had not seen any of the franchise. And one day, one of the producers showed me all of the kills. He had an iPad. He showed me all of the kills from all of the movies, and I was on the floor by the end of it.
That's sweet. Yeah.
I know, as morbid as it is, I was laughing hysterically by the end of it. I get it. I was like, I see. I get it. Yes, yes, yes. And that's where these movies are. Have you seen them?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I love them. I think they're fantastic, and it's so amazing because you know everyone's going to die. You just sit there on the edge of your seat going, how are they going to do it? And they're so creative with the different ways that people die. It's like that TV show, A Thousand Ways to Die, that's on right now that I love so much. You can't believe how many different ways they come up with to kill people.
Right. And this one's crazy good. It's in true 3D. It's not repurposed. We shot in true 3D, and Steve said at the time this was the most advanced cutting-edge technology for 3D. He said these cameras that we're using were better than Avatar.
Those of you that
that's a bonus. And so I know people get some 3D fatigue, but this is true 3D. It blew me away. I saw the premiere the other night. The whole place was screaming.
I love the 3D.
My wife said this, and I know this sounds hyperbolic, but the opening credits, she said, this looks like a bomb film. The opening credits are going to blow you away, and I know that sounds like just hype, and I'm just trying to push a picture, but I'm really proud of this one. I know I sat in your with you guys when the comebacks came out, and I said, yeah, it's really good. And
you did.
Like, okay, come on.
Yeah, you were lying. This one, you mean it, though. Here's the thing about 3D for people that don't know this. A lot of movies are not shot in 3D, but then they kind of, what he said, repurpose.
Yeah.
They make them into 3D movies, but a few of them are actually shot to be 3D movies, and they look so much better.
Yeah,
and this
it's
is
really
one of
striking.
Them. This is one of them.
I won't ask you how you die, David, because that's part of the fun of going to the movie, but I will ask, is this the first time you've ever shot a death scene in your long and storied career?
Actually, twice before. Snakes on a Plane, I die. You don't actually see me die. You see me get attacked.
Right.
You see me slump over from a when a door opens, but then I had a death scene in Extract.
Sweet. Oh, how about that? Oh, Extract. I love that movie with Jason Bateman. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. Wow. Fun stuff. Yeah. All right. We're trying to play clips on the radio. I know it's unconventional because no one can see us, but we do have a clip of your character, Dennis. And this will give you a little bit of the humor that you were talking about in the new film, Final Destination 5, opening up everywhere today.
Olivia and Isaac are dead.
Who's Isaac?
Isaac Palmer, tech support.
Wasn't he dead already?
No, Dennis. Listen, it's going to happen to us too. If we don't do something about it.
Listen, it's called survivor's guilt.
Now, guilt doesn't kill you.
Obviously, you've never met my in-laws.
Well, I know you're out of time, Keck. I know you got to go, but seriously, Final Destination 5, and then you're also in Piranha 3 Double D later this year. This is like a whole new mid-career change for you.
I'm the new Scream Queen.
Well, good luck. Have a fantastic weekend. I hope the movie does gangbuster business for you, man. It's always great to have you on the Kevin Bean Show. We appreciate your time.
Right on. Thank you. I can't wait to see you guys again.
Thanks.
What is the best of all Saturday morning cartoon shows? Ralph insists it's Hong Kong Phooey, but we're going to talk about that.
I did not say that.
Oh, I thought that's what I heard yesterday. Was I incorrect? That'll be happening right after the top of the hour. First, though, time for a look at the showbiz beat.
You know, it dawned on me yesterday. I couldn't for the life of me wrap my head around why they would do a big budget, big screen version of Hong Kong Phooey, which was, obviously it has a sentimental place in the hearts of a lot of our listeners, mm-hmm. judging from the response we had yesterday.
Right.
But it was a marginal hit. I guess it sort of had a resurgence because it's being played on Boomerang, which is the network that shows the old-timey cartoons, mostly Hanna-Barbera stuff. So, you know, there's some kids today who appreciate it. But still, it was sort of a marginal hit back in 1974. It didn't last very long.
Hold on for two or three months.
Yeah, I was like, why would they pick that one? And then it hit me in the head like a bag full of nickels. I think maybe the success of a little film called Kung Fu Panda might have something to do with why they would want to get a kung fu dog up on the big screen to try to bring in the kiddies.
Sure enough.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I thought maybe it was some obscure, bold choice by some executive, but no, it's copycat, just like everything else.
Are you going to pull your pronouncement that Hollywood is over then?
No, no.
Oh, it's still over.
It's still over. Yeah, okay. Don't get me wrong, but now we know why it's over, at least.
Okay.
When we look back, when we do the autopsy on the corpse that is Hollywood, we'll be able to pinpoint the disease that actually killed it. So that's what excites me. Sharon Stone. She's the best.
Now what?
I don't know.
She's crazy, huh?
Yeah, and that's why this cracks me up, because there's somebody crazier than Sharon Stone.
What?
A stalker showed up at the gate of her home yesterday. Her staff was pretty wigged out by this guy. He was pounding on the door, bragging about killing Osama bin Laden.
Oh,
I don't think he was actually one of the SEAL Team 6.
No, I don't think so either.
Then ranting to anyone who would listen that he has a child with Sharon Stone. Sharon Stone had his child, and he's here to visit his child.
Okay, now.
Yeah. Luckily, Sharon wasn't home at the time, but her people did call the LAPD, who handcuffed the man and hauled him off for a mental evaluation.
Excellent.
Let me help you out there, LAPD. He's nuts.
No evaluation needed.
That's my professional opinion. But this is the second time this year, by the way, someone showed up at her house and had to be escorted away by the men in blue. So
that's a horrible thing that stars have to go through.
Yeah.
It really is. And there's so much lately. I mean, Halle Berry's had the same thing. I mean, we've just seen so many stories like this recently.
I know they get a lot of perks, but that's a big downside. And poor Sharon is reaping the whirlwind of a fame that was a while ago. You know, it's not like she's got a big hit series or a big hit TV show in the theaters or on television that can even balance out the dark side of fame. You know, she hasn't exactly been an A-list actress for a while, so that's kind of sad. You know who else is getting preferential treatment? While we're talking about stars, The Situation.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
He apparently was stopped by some cops in Belmar, New Jersey. He was in his Ferrari. And he had two front seats, two women in the front seat with him.
And so
he's in the driver's
legal.
Side, and you got two chicks in the passenger side.
Right.
Cops stopped him, saw it was the sitch, got out, got autographs, photos, sent Mike on his way.
Oh, come on.
Sent the sitch on his way after that. Didn't cite him, didn't do nothing.
That ain't right.
The police chief of that town, Thomas Palisano,
Palmisano said that he was not impressed by the conduct of his staff and will be investigating.
You were excluded from the surf and turf night. You were excluded from ravioli night. You were excluded from chicken cutlet night.
Excluded from giving me a ticket.
So you told the cop.
And Camille Donatacci, formerly Camille Kramer, who was Grammer's ex-wife. She's still taking shots at Kelsey, even though the marriage is over and he's moved on and remarried someone else. She said regarding her ex-husband, Kelsey Grammer, and his equipment, his region down there.
Oh, really? She's going to go there?
Yeah.
Oh.
She said, big hands, big feet, big disappointment. So Kelsey's new wife, Katie, shot back. Perhaps the fault lies not so much with the member in question, but rather with the inspiration at hand. Yeah! Woo!
What's happening?
Burn.
Why is there a battle going on like this?
There's a cat fight over Kelsey Grammer.
Come on,
chicks are fighting over Frasier.
What a world we live in.
I don't want anything to do with your wiener.
I know. No one does. And lastly, sad news. Janie Lane, former lead singer for the band Warrant, is dead. He was found last night in a motel locally here near Los Angeles. No official cause of death has been released, but Janie was only 47, and he did have a history of substance abuse problems in the past, so
that sucks.
They're figuring what they're going to find when it's all said
and done. What happened?
But he gave us one of the great hair band songs of all time.
She's my terrifier.
Remember that video?
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Brown was her name, was the model
That's
that was
right.
in that video.
Oh, yes.
She was famous for being initially the spokesmodel winner on Star Search.
Yep. That's right.
For like 13 weeks in a row or something, she was the record holder. And she went on to be a smoking hot model in that video where she met Janie Lane and then married him. He married that girl.
Wow. Bobby with an I, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
Bobby with an I. Right. And I remember watching that video and watching the drummer pound on the drums, which had cherry pies on top of them.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what a waste of a beautiful drum kit. So I used to love and hate that video because I used to love to watch her. But then it would just break my heart when I saw all that cherry filling being slopped all over those drums. It made me sick to my stomach.
The pictures of Mr. Lane on TMZ.com yesterday, Ralph, showed him wearing the Bret Michaels headband. Was he losing his rich, lustrous, early 90s hairband hair?
He didn't have really even rich lustrous 80s, 90s hairband hair
to
back
begin
in
with.
The day. It was always sort of thin and wispy.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, so I think he was well on his way, even back in the day. Today's celebrity birthdays, Casey Affleck, very talented actor and director and brother of actor-director Ben, is 36. Rebecca Gayhart is 40. Michael Ian Black, also 40 years old today. Peter Krause from 6 Feet Under and from Sports Night. He was great on that show.
Yep.
And Parenthood.
He's great.
Has that been canceled or is that still around?
No, it's still on. Still on coming back.
He's 46 years old today. And Sir Mix-a-Lot, 48 years old today. We celebrate him and his classic song.
Baby got ballet.
Yeah, the most popular version of that song, of course, is the remix.
DJ Omar Khan.
What the hell's going on in the other room?
I have no idea.
I like big butts and I kind of couldn't get that part. That part we couldn't get.
Is there a licensing problem?
Then we get the wiki wiki version.
We have a DJ.
I understand
the clips.
Who
that's
he is.
Why.
I'm just saying.
That's his favorite part.
But it's not a rave. I don't have a glow stick in my hand.
DJ Omar Khan.
I got a Sharpie. I'm doing news here.
He's got glow sticks in the next room. Just pick one up.
Conversations need to be had today with several of you, and I think you know who are on my list. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, I'm glad that Ralph Garman has joined us in studio because we need to settle this. It's like the London riots are out of control, Ralph, and you need to come in and be the hammer here. You need to stop this, wow, these people out and tell them what's what.
You know, it's funny.
Hammer, don't hurt them.
It's funny. most of the time we can judge what kind of response we're going to get. But in this particular case, Ralph brought up a cartoon, Hong Kong Phooey, and the floodgates opened.
These are the things people are passionate about, which I love, by the way. It's not
Hong Kong Phooey, number one super guy.
So Ralph brought this up, and they were going to remake it as a movie.
I
and then the emails started.
Yeah, I think because I disparaged it as not being a particularly good Saturday morning cartoon. It was fine, but it was sort of marginal, and I couldn't understand why anyone would want to make a big budget remake of Hong Kong Phooey, which isn't even like top of mind. If I were to say Hong Kong Phooey to the average person, they probably wouldn't even know the show.
Yeah, right. True. I agree. Yeah. Although it did develop, apparently, as you mentioned, Ralph, it did go into syndication and has been running, you know, was running in the 80s for a while. Now is back on another one of the channels now. So, I mean, it does continue to pick up new fans. But it's not what comes to mind when you start thinking about the classic Saturday morning cartoons. Like, what are the – and we have a huge post up at KevinandBean.com with a list where you can vote for your favorites. And it's just they're all over the board. I mean, there are people who are passionate about Ren and Stimpy. No doubt that's the best. Thundercats is the best. And then there are other people throwing out things I've never heard of, like Rocco's Modern Life is somebody's pick for the best cartoon ever.
Yeah. Here's the thing. We live in a world now with cable that there's a ton of kids programming on television and a ton of animation on programs, a very lucrative part of the entertainment industry. So there's great animation out there, like Rocco's, I think, is really good. Ren and Stimpy, I think, are really good. But they never struck me as really like Saturday morning cartoons. They could be on almost any time, and it'd be like Beavis and Butthead or something. You know, that's a great cartoon, but it's not really a Saturday morning cartoon. I always sort of compartmentalize it into great animation and then great shows that particularly were identified with Saturday mornings.
Hey,
for example.
It's Fat Albert.
How about Fat Albert?
Fat Albert, a classic that does not hold up today when you watch it, by the way.
Is it extremely racist, by the way?
No, it's not.
It's not?
It's the opposite. I mean, Bill Cosby was the creative mind behind that and was the executive producer, and it's very inclusive. There's a lot. You see a lot of races and stuff like that. Sometimes, weirdly, you see a lot of races, like a white girl's just living in the ghetto with all the other black guys, and no one ever mentions it. But they all have a problem at school. And
you got no class. You like school on Sunday.
That is. Come on, He-Man, Masters of the Universe. What is wrong with you?
I couldn't recognize
that. Prince Adam holding up the sword. I have the power of Grayskull.
We are looking
for an awesome cartoon.
We're looking
that also
for
does not hold up when you're watching it.
Well,
these
okay,
days.
Wait a minute. Now, there's two different things. Are you looking for holds
no,
up?
No, not at all.
Okay,
no, I'm just as a passing sort
so
of.
So the category
side
is
moment.
Best. Saturday morning cartoon ever.
Right. I have my own opinions, but you just played two really strong contenders in a row right there.
It's if no one should terrify their neighborhood, but he could just won't be
He's playing pranks on everyone.
Heathcliff, you know how I feel about Heathcliff.
But he's playing pranks.
You know
on
how I
everyone.
Feel about Heathcliff.
You don't understand.
Marmaduke, Garfield, and its ilk.
Doesn't even count.
It was a movie. I hated all those cartoons that were based on other things. I'm looking for real deal, original, from whole cloth, Saturday morning cartoons.
La, 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 sing a happy song.
Freaking
la,
Smurf.
La, 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 Smurf.
Yeah, Smurf you mother Smurfers.
Now,
I'm
Ralph,
so pissed off you made $135 million for that piece of Smurf you put out.
You mentioned cable channels. A lot of them are running cartoons, even on Saturday mornings. On the networks now, because I'm up on Saturday mornings, I turn on the TV. It seems like ABC is the only one that's still going with cartoons. Everybody else is doing sports and infomercials and stuff like that. So you'll turn on in like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are on ABC right now. There's a bunch of other shows. I mean, there is still a Saturday morning audience, but it's probably nothing like it was back in the 80s and 90s where everybody watched the same shows.
Because networks are finding out that they're losing, that the audience is so spread out. It's so watered down now that you really can't pull numbers to make it worth your while on a Saturday morning. Used to be, there were three networks. They all were fighting for a small group of kids that were up on Saturday mornings eating their cereal they wanted to capture. But now there's 24-hour, you know, cartoon networks.
Thunder! Thunder! Thunder!
Oh, Thundercats were good.
All right. Yeah,
and
two things.
Thundar the Barbarian. There was a lot of thunder going on in the 80s for some reason.
Two things you can do for us. Go to KevinandBean.com and cast your vote on your favorite, and you can pick up to 10 in an enormous list of shows there at KevinandBean.com to vote for who your favorite of the all-time Saturday morning cartoons is. And you can call us and get on the air too at 1-800-520-1067. Lines are already full.
Thunder
got a lot of great choices. We'll talk to you next. Coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
The Transformers, more than meets the eye. Autobots wage their battle to destroy the evil forces of
The Decepticons, the Transformers.
This one was, I would say, successfully changed into a movie series.
It was. It was one of the few that has actually made the leap. Most Saturday morning cartoons that get made into movies, whether it's Josie and the Pussycats or... Let's think of some of the others. Anyway, it's not a good process, usually. Usually they fail. Sometimes, right. If they do it in just animation, I believe Hong Kong Fooey is going to be just animated, they may be able to come up with something. But I guess Smurfs did pretty well for itself, though, didn't it?
Yeah.
We're talking about the best Saturday morning cartoons of all time, so don't bother calling if you want to say, you know, Simpsons or Robot Chicken. That's not what we're talking about
right here.
It's crazy how many there are. I mean, we've got a list on KevinandBean.com that you can vote on that must be 80 names long, but people are writing in with things like Gumby and the Laugh Olympics.
Laugh Olympics. All of Hanna-Barbera's greatest characters competing in Comedy Olympics.
Yeah, I don't really know.
Yogi Bear really is like doing the broad jump and stuff, and it was awesome.
Bananas in pajamas are coming down the stairs.
Bananas and pajamas.
That didn't even exist.
Not good.
You are high.
Let's go to Christine. She's on line six, although you already kind of spoiled it for us, Kevin. But let's hear what Christine has to say.
Hey, Christine.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Good morning. Yeah, I used to watch Bananas and Pajamas. Like, me and my brother used to fight over that show. He didn't like it. I loved it.
He was right. It's awful.
And pajamas are coming down the stairs.
It doesn't sound good. I'll say that.
Why were the bananas wearing pajamas, or was that never explained?
I don't know. Maybe it was because they danced around. I don't know what it was, but they were freaking awesome.
They weren't.
I mean, like, who would know to dance around in a banana suit with, like, take over everybody Saturday, even before school.
Wow.
There were a lot of drugs going on with the people who made those Saturday morning shows, I bet, right?
Yeah, oh. I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, it happened with Alice in Wonderland. Why not?
It would have to be. Who would come up with Bananas in Pajamas except for somebody high?
Well, look at any of the stuff that Sid and Marty Krofft did, their live-action kid shows in the 70s with H.R. Puffin stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Puffin stuff. I mean, it's in the title.
Christine,
the Sea Monsters.
Thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Albert, line 3, 1-800-520-1067. Albert, what's your favorite Saturday morning cartoon of all time?
Albert?
Hello, Albert.
I think he's gone.
Oh, too bad.
You were saying
hello.
Voltron.
Yes, hello, Voltron.
Yeah, try to keep up.
Hello,
where
are
you
going? Voltron, defender of the universe.
There was, during this period of time, with the success of Transformers, just a slew of robot, Japanese, animated, space, sort of. There was just,
were they sort of copies of Transformers?
It was all sort of the same genre at the same time. And, boy, there was a ton of them. And this was probably the most successful, I think, was Voltron.
It was.
Thank you for the call, and good luck learning how to use that phone. Let's try Eric.
Star Blazers happened around that time.
Eric is on line 4. Tell me if you've heard of this one that he's calling about, Ralph.
Sure. I know Silverhawks.
Yeah, the Silverhawks.
They were right after Thundercats. There was a Silverhawks. I like how they all had good themes. Seems like.
Silverhawks to me, Eric, seemed like it was just Thundercats in space, right?
Exactly, yeah. They had the same kind of team, same kind of young kids.
Right.
And they battled this kind of monster.
Yeah. I did not like Silverhawks because they had that douchebag cowboy with the guitar.
That's right.
What was his name?
It was
Colonel
Bluegrass.
I knew Ralph would come up with it.
Colonel Bluegrass, I think it was.
That's scary.
Horrible. Space guy and a cowboy hat singing country music. It was a nightmare.
It's everything you love.
Everything I hate in one.
Eric, thank you for the call. Let's go to Jennifer, line 5. She's going old school, and I wanted to get her call on the air because we're getting a lot of response on the website and also on the email for this same cartoon.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
Which one?
Hey, so, no one's mentioned the Looney Tunes. I mean, Bugs Bunny is classic.
Yeah, here's my thing about that. They are brilliant cartoons, but they originally were released in theaters for adults, and then they started being syndicated on television, mostly in the afternoons and stuff. After school, you'd come home and watch those.
No, but I watched it for at least 20 years.
No, they would be on the mornings, too.
They were on the mornings, yeah.
But I think we're just talking more about shows that were sort of created for that Saturday morning television slot. But no, absolutely, those are some of the greatest cartoons ever, let alone Saturday mornings.
You watched them for 20 years, you just said.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm just
Well, they made
myself.
Them in the 40s. These
I know.
Were made, so they've been around forever.
Well, let's see. Let's make it clear. I did not watch them in the 40s.
Well, no, of course, we're not saying that.
But early 50s.
No, no.
But if you're 20 years old, you could have watched them for 20 years, that's for sure.
Right. I did have a Hong Kong Phooey lunchbox.
Oh, wow. You're my kind of girl.
She had a lunchbox.
How about that?
We need to take another break, unfortunately, but... Ralph, do you have a top 10? Do you have your top 10 or do you have
I can come up with it. I don't have it written it down, but I know what I think are the top 3 greatest Saturday morning cartoons of all time.
And let me tell you what's leading at kevinandbean.com.
None of them are on this list, by the way.
You can call us at 1-800-520-106 and we'll get as many calls as we can. Here's what's leading on the website with the voting. Animaniacs, Transformers, Scooby-Doo, X-Men, and Tom and Jerry. So far, those are your big five.
Tom and Jerry blows. Muggs loves some turtle power.
I gotta tell you, Muggs was so excited about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
It was...
It's huge, right?
There are very few sort of modern classics. I mean, you look back to the 60s and 70s as the golden age of the Saturday morning cartoon, and then a little less so in the 80s and other. It gets really cluttered. There's a lot of stuff all of a sudden. But Mutant, the Turtles definitely cut through all the clutter and really made a big impression on the world.
And still popular today.
Very
it's still making
so.
Movies today.
Yeah.
And by the way, the only thing more exciting than Mug and Turtle Power is producer Alex singing every word of the 35-minute Gem and the Holograms theme song.
Gem was very popular with the girls her age, yes.
Gem was a slut.
She was. She was a bad role model, in my opinion, for the girls of the era.
We are talking about the best Saturday morning cartoons of all time. What is your favorite? You can go to kevinandbean.com. And cast your vote. You can also call us now at 1-800-520-1067. And I think, Ralph, before the end of this segment, we're going to hear your three favorites. Am I right
yes,
about that?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, let's go to, wow, so many to choose from. We'll do them real fast. Let's talk to Dave on line two. I remember the live action version of this show. I don't remember it as a Saturday morning cartoon. Hi, Dave.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks. What's your show?
How about the Chick?
Spoon!
Tick.
What
a
spoon
was,
Why did the Tick shout spoon?
Spoon? Tick realized he was a superhero who was sort of a fender head. He was kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
And he recognized...
And he'd jump from building to building and break the roof and the parapet walls.
Yeah.
And,
very, very funny show. Yeah, that really holds up even for adults.
Why
it's
did
very
he yell
clever.
Spoon?
Because he realized in one episode that he needed a catchphrase. A lot of superheroes had catchphrases and he didn't have one.
That's not a catchphrase.
So he just started...
That's
the
utensil.
Good. Spoon! He would just yell that as he fought crime.
That's stupid.
It's a very funny show. It's with a very adult sensibility. So
thank you, Dave.
That's an excellent choice.
Let's try Bernie on line four. He's got one I've never heard of. I'm sure, Ralph, you have. Hi, Bernie. What's going on? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Eek the Cat.
Eek the Cat was a very funny show, too,
Eek
yes.
Eek the Cat.
Yeah, was that in the early 90s, I guess?
Yeah.
Good show.
All right.
And what was Eek's deal, Ralph? Did he have superpowers? Or
no,
anything?
He was a scaredy cat, basically.
What?
Yeah, hence Eek.
Oh.
All right, let's go to John, line five. John's he's got a classic that a lot of other people are also weighing in with today.
Hey, party people. My favorite by far was Johnny Quest.
Johnny Quest is number two on my list of top five of all time.
Is that right?
Johnny Quest was one of the best written TV shows, let alone animation shows of its era.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a little action-adventure film in every episode. They did a great job with that show. Wasn't a comedy, wasn't funny, but the great characters, well-drawn, and just
it was
really,
real sci-fi, right?
Sci-fi.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was like Indiana Jones kind of stuff, you know? And Johnny was a kid whose dad was a scientist, and he would get caught up in these adventures with his best friend, Haji, a little Indian kid.
Haji!
And Race Bannon, who was his sort of bodyguard. And it was really a unique, different kind of show for that time, and there wasn't a lot. There was a lot of copycat stuff going on, but Johnny Quest really stood alone, and a great theme song, too,
anyway,
if you ever hear that.
What about the King of Mexico who says that Johnny Quest sucked, that he hated the Indian? What about that?
Oh, no, Johnny Quest was awesome. And if you ever watch a very funny cartoon called The Venture Brothers, which is on Adult Swim, I guess, now, it is a straight spoof of Johnny Quest, and they do a very funny job of it.
I bet if you sat down in a room, Ralph, you could probably name 100 Saturday morning cartoons, but I am so amazed by how many are coming in that I've never heard of. What the hell is Tennessee Tuxedo? That's a show?
What's the Tennessee tuxedo
so much? I forgot all about Tennessee tuxedo.
What is
and
it?
And his pal Chumley. Tennessee
this
tuxedo.
Is from Tony.
Tennessee tuxedo was voiced by the great Don Adams, who was Maxwell Smart in Get Smart.
Right.
And he and his pal Chumley, who was a walrus, he was a penguin.
Chumley
was his walrus buddy, and they lived in the zoo. And whenever they had like a question about how things worked or whatever, they would just walk out of the zoo. They would just leave and go see their pal Phineas J. Whoopi, who was a professor and a scientist who would answer all their questions. And
very nice.
So the catchphrase was Phineas J. Whoopi, you're the greatest. He would say
Tony
that to him all the time.
Is also throwing his support behind McGilla Gorilla, also Underdog and Jabberjaw. Underdog. Another one of his
Jabberjaw.
Favorites.
Oh,
you love all these
stuff. Speed Buggy. It makes me think of Speed Buggy because Jabberjaw and Speed Buggy used to be right up against each other.
What's happening right now? All right, let's go to Speed Brandon. Line six. How can your favorite cartoon of all time be something that I've never heard of?
Captain
Brandon?
Planet Blue, Brandon.
Well, you haven't heard of any of them, Bean. You never watch TV in the morning.
No, but I read and I hear stuff. What the hell is Captain Planet, Brandon?
When the five powers combine, they summon Earth's greatest champion, Captain Planet.
What the hell?
Go
Screw
Planet.
Smokey the Bear.
Go Planet. Did you say Screw Smokey the Bear?
Yes, Captain Planet is probably the greatest superhero environmentalist ever.
Quite a category. He was an eco-friendly environmentalist superhero who would teach kids how to save the planet. It was horrible, Brandon.
That sounds like a public service announcement more than a cartoon.
It was one long PSA. It was like going to school. I hated that goddamn cartoon. Keep your water clean. Screw you, Captain Planet. Nice piece of trivia, though. The first season of Captain Planet was voiced by Tom Cruise.
Is that right?
No kidding.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to hear Ralph's three favorites. You already mentioned one. Number two is Johnny Quest. But let's not even bother going to Adam on the phone because I know you yell at him. Is Batman a Saturday morning cartoon? He's putting in a vote for that.
He's probably talking about the Batman the Animated Series, which was a brilliant animated show, and it was Saturday morning.
So, it was a Saturday morning, so that would count.
So that's the more recent one.
All right, Ralph, let's hear from you. I got my top five here. You've dedicated many, many years to Saturday morning cartoons. What are the best in your opinion?
In my opinion, going fifth to first. So the fifth best Saturday morning cartoon of all time, in my opinion, was Josie and the Pussycats. Josie was a chick who had her own rock trio, and they would travel around the world and also fight crime.
Josie and the Pussycats.
So they would go around and sing and then fight
They'd
crime?
They'd go on tour, and then every city they would tour in, eventually something would happen. They'd have to solve a crime or whatever.
Okay.
It was
now,
great.
Was part of that for you, Ralph, that was your sexual awakening to see these hot chicks playing rock and roll music?
They were so hot, but I also thought it was cool that at that time, when that came out, it must have been out in the late 60s, early 70s, there was no really female lead in a cartoon series. It was all sort of boy-based, so it was very novel and interesting to watch a girl sort of call the shots.
All right. That's number five.
For me, number four was Rocky and Bullwinkle. Rocky and Bullwinkle, which had so many great elements to it. You had the Rocky and Bullwinkle show, of course, and then you also had Sherman and Peabody. Remember they would do the Wayback Machine and all that stuff? Just really cleverly well-written stuff, even for kids. I thought that show was great.
All right.
Third for me was The Super Friends. As you can imagine, as a comic book geek growing up, The Super Friends introduced a whole generation of kids to the Justice League of America. Superman, Batman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman. These became sort of the biggest superheroes in the world because this show was so popular.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes. Created from the cosmic legends of the universe.
Superman!
They took out Osama.
They did. That was them, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Number two, as I mentioned, Johnny Quest was great. But I think number one has to be, and it is the most influential Saturday morning cartoon still to this day across the board.
Can I guess?
Number one!
Sure.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
That's it.
Where are you?
That would be my guess.
We got some work to do now.
It invented that template of a bunch of kids going around solving mysteries. That had never existed before, if you can believe it.
There
were kids who were going out fighting crime and solving mysteries, and then it seemed like every cartoon after that, there was some element of that where they would get together and solve a mystery or fight crime.
And they were also smoking weed in Havana a lot, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of drug, sort of veiled drug references to the Scooby snacks, and Shaggy was a full-blown stoner before anyone even knew what was going on. Hell, he thought his dog was talking to him. That's how
stoned he was.
Well, we have barely scratched the surface with how much people love their Saturday morning cartoons. And in case you're wondering, by the way, as of right now, Animaniacs still topping the poll at KevinBean.com is the all-time greatest Saturday morning cartoon. Well, so we're going to be done with it on the air for right now, but you can certainly go to the website and vote if you want. We'll take a quick break. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up next. Got a huge hour still to come here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Bean's Death Corner after the top of the hour. Then Ralph's got the movie beat for us because it's Friday. Then LaQuisha reviews last night's Jersey Shore, episode 2 of the season on MTV. That's all
Let's
coming up.
Blow it all out and just keep talking cartoons.
Nope.
I can do it all morning long.
I know. You can do it all day long.
Oh, it's the best thing in the world. Cartoons are the best thing in the world.
You should start a new podcast about cartoons.
Cartoons.
Yeah, you see. Yeah.
Good idea.
All right. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Is that what you're saying? Just leave it for the podcast? Is that your way to tell me to shut up and stop talking about it on your show?
Because you have so much knowledge on
it. I do, and such a passion. So while we're talking about passion, Melanie Chisholm of the Spice Girls is furious at Rihanna. Melanie C. of the Spice Girls, was she sporty?
Bean would know. He's the only one that would know.
Melanie B was the big sexy black one, right?
She was.
Yeah,
Melanie
yeah,
C
she
was
I think she was sporty. Yeah. I think she was sporty.
Yeah, she was sporty. Yeah,
she was sporty.
She is taking on Rihanna, saying that she is inappropriate. Her her sexual outfits and her behavior is inappropriate. She says, "I'm a big fan of Rihanna, but I'm a mother, and we owe it to our kids to protect them against such images." As Rihanna when she's singing and dancing.
Okay.
That's a lot of guts coming from one of the Spice Girls.
It sure is.
Who used to saying, if you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends. Singing about orgies in her songs.
And they wore their share of skimpy outfits
they
for
sure
the time
did.
As well.
They were whores. Well, not sporty so much. She wore a tracksuit most of the time, I
yeah,
think.
Right.
But the rest are more whores.
That is so surprising that there wouldn't just be some sort of, hey, you know, she's a female entertainer also. We're kind of sisters doing it for ourselves. Why not give her a break?
Too sexy.
Well, here's sporty. The thing. Here's the thing. You're a parent, so you parent your kids that way.
Yeah.
Keep them away from Rihanna.
This strikes me as funny how people who used to be one thing. The minute they have kids or they get a little older, all of a sudden everything goes out the window. They have no tolerance for anybody else.
She's not as sporty either, by the way, anymore.
No, she never really was. She was always the weakest of the Spice Girls, in my opinion.
Yeah, in terms of attractiveness, but far and away the best singer.
Yes. And, you know, see where that got her. Talent doesn't always win out. Can you imagine marrying into the Kardashian family?
No, I cannot.
In Touch Weekly Magazine's got a great story this week, and I choose to believe it's true.
Okay.
Just because it rings true to me. That Chris Humphries, who is the basketball player marrying Kim Kardashian.
Yes.
He and his family are just feeling completely left out of his own wedding. Just trying to be involved, trying to enjoy it, trying to make it a big part of their son's lives. They want to be present. Are being just ignored and pushed out of the picture and not involved in any way, shape, or form regarding the plans.
It's not that they're being mean to them. They're just
being disregarded. They're meaningless to them.
Meaningless.
And it's so heartbreaking when you hear the family talk about the fact that now Chris's father is a very successful businessman in his own right, offered to chip in to help with the paying for the affair and to make plans. Was told thanks but no thanks, according to friends of both couples.
But as long as they're included in everything else, fine.
Nope. They are not allowed to be involved in the planning.
Wow.
They have no say-so in what happens. The E! Network and Kris Jenner are running everything regarding putting the wedding together.
The E! Network.
And by running everything, you mean maximizing potential earnings from the day.
Yep. Kris Jenner is the one who's planning the wedding. She's running the show, as you can imagine.
Sure.
And the Humphreys have said to friends that they feel like they're being treated like second-class citizens.
Yeah.
Get used to it.
We got to pull this tape from Access Hollywood last night. They had Kim Kardashian on a red carpet somewhere, Ralph, and she was talking about, very matter-of-factly, with no sense of this is out of whack and her priorities are crazy, that she had flown to New York to have a meeting with her wedding planner, went to the meeting, turned around, got back on a plane, and flew back to L.A.
Yep.
She spent 10 hours in the air for a couple of hours with the wedding planner in New York. And to her, that's a normal life, and that's a reasonable, smart decision to make and a good use of your time.
You can't do that on the phone?
How about a go to meeting? How about go to meeting?
Can't do that. Can't Skype. Can't do any of that. No, this is real stuff.
It's face to face stuff. This is like when they broker those peace negotiations between warring countries. You have to do it across the table from each other. This is not something you send in an email.
Bean's point is also, hey, maybe take care of another part of business while you're in New York or do something.
I don't know. It just seems so out of whack. I mean, how crazy is she for this wedding?
This poor bastard. He doesn't know what
to do. This poor bastard needs to get out while he can.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if he dumped her just before the wedding? I'd never stop laughing.
This is going to be his whole life.
Oh, yes.
What you just described is his whole life.
Yeah. He should call up Lamar Odom and see what's going on and see if he can get some advice from his future brother-in-law. See if he can...
Lamar keeps his distance from that family on purpose, I think.
Yeah, he's lucky enough he travels most of the year with his job, so he doesn't have to be around too much. I guess Chris will have the same situation. Today's celebrity birthdays. Casey Affleck is 36 years old today. Rebecca Gayhart celebrates her 40th birthday. Michael Ian Black is 40. Peter Krause, a very talented actor, he is 46 years old today. And Sir Mix-a-Lot, the rapper who gave us Baby Got Back.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. Yeah, huh? You other brothers can't deny. And a round thing in your face,
you get sprung.
Wanna pull up tough, cause you notice that butt was stuck. Deep in the jeans she's wearing, I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh baby, I wanna get whipped up and take your picture. My whole voice tried to warn me, but that butt you got makes
me so horny.
I miss the party machine.
That is one of the all-time greats.
It really is. Although I can't help but think, I've never seen him and Humpty in the same room together. There's a very similar vibe those two guys
That's
have.
That's true.
You put that in the Humpty, do the Humpty hump right next to each other. I think you'd find some similarities. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Really, the best magician I've ever met in my life, Penn Jillette, joins us again on the Kevin and Bean Show in 1 hour. And a brilliant, brilliant man who has a hysterical book that's out now. So that's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. LaQuisha later in the hour, movie beat. But right now, how about a brand new Bean's Death Corner?
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams, hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
Well, death is the best. And by the way, I tweeted a photo of my belly button yesterday because, you know, I have that herniated belly button that has just gotten suddenly very ugly and very purple and very painful and needs to come out. And it's also the Kevin and Bean picture of the day on our website today. So a lot of people knew I went to the doctor yesterday and begged me for an update on the program today. Apparently, I have bad news for you guys. I will live. Apparently, this is not a fatal condition. It can be corrected by surgery, but if I die on the table, Kevin, I'm asking you now,
will you
feature me on an upcoming Kevin's Death Quarter, the new feature that debuts the day after I die?
We will, certainly we'll dedicate it all to you.
Yeah, we could do that.
We won't even do three stories like you do.
That would be such an honor for me if I could be featured on the first edition of Kevin's Death Quarter.
And
I would love that so
much. And we
would
prefer that, although I'm not a big fan of death, as I think most people aren't.
How could you say that? Listen to the stories in the Death Quarter today, and you can find more information on all of them at kevinandbean.com. Here's a man, Kevin, a 41-year-old, Federico Dean, in the beautiful country of Italy, who's up on the mountaintop spreading his younger brother Matteo's ashes. His brother Matteo had been killed 2 months earlier in a motorbike accident. He's up on the top of the mountain, this tender family moment, his brother's ashes.
Right.
What do you think happens to him?
He
gets struck and killed by lightning, don't you know? Struck and killed by lightning. Police spokesperson says it's a tragic combination of circumstances. The victim was in the mountains to scatter the ashes of his dead brother at his favorite spot when he himself was killed. The thunderstorm came out of nowhere. As often happens in the mountains in the summertime, there was nothing that could be done.
Wow.
That is God hates your family. If you die at 41 and your brother dies at 35, what the F,
although,
right?
If there's an afterlife... Doesn't your brother go, hey, dude, you what happened to you? You were just spreading my ashes, and now you're here.
What a bonehead.
Shocking.
So that can't be any fun for them, but it's entertaining for us.
Sure.
We go to Toledo, Ohio for the next Death Corner story. This is weird. I've never seen a story like this before, and it's unclear how it happened. There were no witnesses to explain how 62-year-old Sheila DeCoster accidentally fell into the recycling bin out in front of her apartment complex. I don't know if she was out there dropping off a load of bottles and cans or what happened, but she somehow fell in, was upside down, could not right herself, and suffocated inside the bin.
Oh, my God.
How do you fall in? That's bizarre.
Her husband returned home from work around 5 p.m. and could see her legs sticking out of the trash bin. When he ran over, he shook her leg, called out her name, but he knew she was already gone.
Did he just leave her in the recycling bin?
Why not?
I mean, I think she counts as recyclable, right? Seems like you could take care of that.
Yeah, those giant trucks couldn't lift it, though.
Then we go to Salmon, Idaho. Look, this story upsets me. You know I love death, but this one actually does upset me because this is a complete violation to the advice that we've been giving on the Kevin and Bean Show for years. What do we always tell people, Kevin, if they're already quadriplegics? We say, go for it.
Whatever
crazy action sports you want to get involved in, whatever you're physically able to do, what's the worst that could happen, right?
Don't we say that? Of course.
Go out there and get on the ATV or surf or whatever you want to do because, I mean, how much more could you be injured than being a quadriplegic? Well, this guy, only 27 years old from Kingston, Washington, he has been a quadriplegic since a car accident in high school. He has taken up skydiving. He has been a veteran of 125 jumps over the past 5 years. Unfortunately, number 126 did not end so well as he plunged 18,000 feet to his death. He was unable to manually deploy his parachute, and he had forgotten to set the emergency chute to open automatically.
But he died having fun.
he died having fun.
Right? Good attitude. I mean, I like it.
In fact, a friend of his said that he was living his dream. He was in an incredible story of his drive to live and excel in the sport despite being disabled. So he died with another jump pass in his pocket. But still, that's not the way you want to go.
And then that guy at the top of the mountain that was spreading his ass.
And finally on today's Beans Death Corner, I can't believe I forgot to do this one at the time. I've had this in the file for a while but forgot. And thanks to the Kevin and Bean listener that tipped me off to the July 4th fireworks accident in Fargo, North Dakota. Now, this one is going to be especially painful for you, Kevin, because you're a fan of, shall we say, the outside of perhaps legal parameters fireworks.
How dare you? I just love fire and works.
He bought a, his name was Jesse Burley. He was 41 years old. He had a large collection of fireworks. He walked out into the middle of the street to light a firework. A neighbor later described a cloud of smoke. Within 10 seconds of us talking to him as he left for the street middle, he lit it and all we saw was a cloud of smoke. When I walked up to his body, it was nothing but shoulders down.
Are you serious? What, he put it in his mouth?
A commercial-grade firework that decapitated him in the middle of the street.
Jeez.
That is not the plan for the 4th of July.
Well, it doesn't make for a happy party, I'll tell you that.
That is not what you're hoping for. I mean, his two young children were not home at the time.
Oh, good.
Were not home at the time, did not see Daddy lose his head. But what's the 4th of July going to be like for them for the rest of their lives? Every single year when the 4th of July rolls around, they see all those fireworks. It's going to be terrible, right?
Hiding under a bed.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's the worst story ever.
See, that's
ever
because
be.
They needed me running their fireworks.
Yeah, see, you wouldn't have done that.
That's correct.
You wouldn't have done that. So this has been, again, all the details at kevinandbean.com if you want to see and read more about these stories. But this has been an all-new edition of Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
I'll be honest, fellas, it was sounding great, but I could have used a little more cowbell.
World famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 24 minutes after 8 o'clock.
That is brand new music from Red Hot Chili Peppers here on the Kevin and Bean Show. LaQuisha talks Jersey Shore coming up. Right now it's Friday. Ralph is here with the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching.
One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Interesting weekend at the Cineplexes. There's a movie here for almost everybody. There's a movie for Lisa to go see.
Really?
There's a movie for Kevin to go see.
All right.
There's a movie for Dave the King of Mexico to go see.
Really? Wow.
And then there's one for those of us who like good movies. We can all go see that. So something for everybody this weekend. Starting with Dave's movie, Glee, the 3D concert movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Glee. I love to see the guy in a wheelchair dancing.
He does dance.
He dances.
Now, why do we need a movie of Glee? Don't we see plenty of them singing and dancing on the TV every week?
Don't you want to see those kids from that high school sing and dance?
This is the live tour, right?
This is the live concert that they've been touring around the country with. Okay. And then they went backstage and filmed some behind-the-scenes moments. And as well as the performances, and put it all in a beautiful 3D package for you.
Dev will enjoy that.
Dev. Here is Lea Michele, one of the stars of Glee, talking about Glee 3D.
Oh, hi
this is Big Nose, and if you want to see my big nose coming flying at you in 3D, you go see Glee 3D. And by the way, this movie.
Yeah, I don't think that was really Lea Michele. I think that may have been Omar.
It sounded like Omar
commenting on Glee 3D, the concert movie.
He is not a fan of Glee.
He is not. He does not love Glee. That's what you're asking.
It's not his favorite of all time.
Lisa, have your tickets yet for The Help? Do you have your tickets purchased for The Help?
I don't, but I read the book, and I'm super excited to see this movie.
I knew you would be. Yeah. Stars Emma Stone, Dallas Bryce Howard. It's the story of an aspiring writer, a girl who's living in the South in 1962, and she comes back home after college and just discovers, she starts some relationships with, well, as you can imagine, The Help, the black maids who are living in her community, and so she writes a book to give them a voice about their point of view about what Southern society is like in the early 1960s. So it's a...
That sounds good.
It's a drama about civil rights, but also from a very human point of view, dealing with these families and the people who work for them. I see it as sort of like a Steel Magnolias mixed with, I don't know, something Tyler Perry left in a garbage can.
Oh, I think it's going to be better than that, Ralph. Yeah. I mean, this is a
great
good.
Cast.
Right, but this is a great cast great and apparently story. A very, very faithful, to the book, which was a huge New York Times bestseller for 2 years. I mean,
take
apparently
it's
right. beautifully
Parks,
done.
Relax.
I'm just saying, I'm with Lisa. This looks phenomenal good. To me. And Viola, what's your name? Viola, is it Davis, I want to say?
Yes.
What's her name?
Yes, that's right.
Apparently, this role's got Oscar written all over it again for
take
her.
It easy. Take
all
it
right.
easy.
All right, okay. You were looking forward to it. We got that.
Take a breath.
Wow.
It's all good.
I think it looks good.
It's all good.
Okay, we got that. We've made that impression.
Wow. Ask me what I think about The Help.
He went crazy.
Well, man. When he said Tyler Perry in the trash can,
right.
I'm just saying
there are a lot of sassy black women in this movie is all I'm saying. That was my
joke.
Point. Little joke.
And
that's what
I
try to do here on the program. I'm sorry.
I'm unfamiliar with the show.
No,
I apologize.
No, I think it's good.
I think it's
good.
Awesome.
Because it's a great cast, and it's got connects, and it was a book, and it's well received.
That was an unusual outburst out of Bean.
I've never seen such passion
for a guy
something
who's
hasn't involved death to be that
and
very
a guy
excited about something.
Who's probably not going to go see it either,
right.
by the way.
Man, that's something else. Here's a scene where Emma Stone, who plays Skeeter Phelan, the young writer, she is talking to Viola Davis and telling about her plan to write the book.
I'd like to do a book of interviews about working for white families. And we could show what it's like to work for, say, Elizabeth.
You know what Miss Leaf would do to me if she knew I was telling stories on her?
Well, I was thinking that we wouldn't have to tell her. The other maids would have to keep it a secret, too.
All the maids?
Well, I was hoping to get four or five to show what it's really like in Jackson.
Hallelujah! So Bean will
Bean
not,
says,
be, not be going to this movie, but he defends it with till his last dying breath.
I do.
Bean
yes.
says he'll duel anyone that doesn't like this.
Pistol set down.
40 paces.
Final Destination 5 also coming out this weekend. This is for Kevin. I'm
Love
sure
it.
He'll go and watch people die. This one has an interesting hook, though, because you're not just trying to outrun death. But apparently, if you kill someone else, if you put someone in your place, then you get their life and they die, but you get spared. So it's a lot of people taking each other out, too, which makes things even more complicated. Here's a scene where Nicholas DeCosta, who's one of the stars of the film, is interrogating a coroner to see just what's up with all these deaths.
You warned us. At the memorial service, you said death didn't like to be cheated.
It's just that I've seen this before. You change things on that bridge. It's a wrinkle in reality, and that wrinkle is you.
Are you saying that we can't stop this?
You're not supposed to be here. You're short of death.
Death doesn't like to be cheated.
Death doesn't like to be cheated.
Candyman. Candyman, the guy who played Candyman, it's that role, the coroner guy. And then lastly, for something for the rest of us who like good movies, 30 Minutes or Less comes out this week.
I want to see this one, too.
Hilarious comedy. From director Ruben Fleischer, who gave us Zombieland, Jesse Eisenberg, Aziz Ansari, Danny McBride, Nick Swordson.
Swordson. That's right.
I think it's
his name wrong. Is it D-O-N, not S-O-N at the end?
It's S-D-O-N.
Yeah, I think it's S-D-O-N.
Swordson. Okay. The guy is a poor schmuck, is a pizza delivery guy, gets and order to deliver pizzas to two yahoos to decide to strap a bomb to him and force him to rob a bank for them so that they don't have to rob it. Ingenious when you think about
sure.
it. Sure. Doesn't work out so well in real life. But in the movies, it's very entertaining. Here's a scene from the film where Nick, played by Jesse Eisenberg, and his best friend Chet, Aziz Ansari, they have to go shopping to prepare for their bank robbery so that they can give these guys the money and get the bomb off of Nick.
Okay, here we are. Guys, we get the handguns or the Uzis. What do you think? These look pretty real.
Get down on get down on the ground and give me the money in the bank.
Oh, wait, how am I supposed to get you the money if I'm on the ground?
Go get the money in the bank and then get down on the ground afterwards.
All right, I'll be right back.
Guns. Masks. You sure you all don't want to grab some condoms?
No, why?
Because this is usually what men buy before they rape someone.
We're not rapists.
It's going to be cash or credit for your rape kit.
Cash or credit for your rape kit.
Come on! Come on! I want to see this movie right now. Let's all go. Let's all leave and go see this movie.
That looks
awesome. That's my pick for the weekend, 30 minutes or less. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Congratulations to Sergio Perez from El Monte. Won the tickets to see 311 and Sublime in Rome at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater on August 20th. And is our grand prize winner. Won
what?
The trip to see 311 with and Sublime with Rome in Red Rocks, Colorado.
Yeah!
The whitest prize we've ever given away on this show.
Airfare, hotel, the whole thing. So congratulations from the world-famous K-Rock. It is 20 minutes till 9 o'clock.
Fridays on the Kevin and Bean Show are very special for a lot of reasons, one of which is we catch up with our friend LaQuisha, who reviews Jersey Shore for us on MTV. LaQuisha, I know how you feel about the Jersey Shore, and I know you love stupid white people, but how shocked were you by those ratings that came out on last week's premiere episode? Almost 9 million people tuned in.
The biggest viewed episode ever.
It's unbelievable. This thing will not die.
Shut up, America.
It's not only not dying, it's growing.
What? It's growing.
At a loss because I have seen every episode of this program.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if I had seen one episode of this program, I would have seen every episode of this program.
It is pretty much the same.
That's... Absolutely.
Yes.
Even in Italy, you think, well, this is going to be different there in Italy. It's the same damn thing over and over again. Let's go do some laundry. Ooh, let's get tan. Let's go out tonight and drink. Uh-oh, I'm late for work.
I wonder if we're going to get in a fight.
Last night, Dina has decided to set her sights on DJ Pauly D as her in-house sort of booty call because she decided she's going to have sex with one of her roommates, which always turns out well on this show, by the way.
It does, yeah, 100%.
This is Dina's plan.
My game plan is flirt with Pauly, make out with him a couple times, and then who knows, maybe his Italian sausage will be in my...
Oh, that's romantic.
She is charming. A delicate young flower.
She really is. That's
just
beautiful.
Blossoming into womanhood.
That's a beautiful sentiment.
I look forward to finding her lifeless body in an alley somewhere in Florence, Italy, sometime soon. Then Dina also seems confused about the idea of once you leave the United States of America and go to another country, sometimes things are different. For example, in Italy, I find, now I've never been myself, but I would assume they speak mostly Italian there.
Uh-huh.
And were they to put products together, the printing on those products most likely would be in Italian.
I think that's common sense.
You would think so. Yeah. Dina seems completely confused by the concept.
Oh my God, it's so hard in a grocery store trying to figure out what the hell is what. Like, you're reading and it's like different words. Is this artichokes? Like, what the hell is this? Like, nothing is in English.
What is it?
What? It's like you're reading and it's a different language.
It's as if the Italians have a different word for everything.
And by the way, these Jersey Shore kids, I'm not surprised to see them act this way because a lot of Americans are very frustrated when they travel around the world and they realize that not everything is in English and not everything tastes and looks and feels and sounds the exact same way they're used to because we're not in America.
No, but Bean, this is exceptional in that they didn't anticipate this.
They walk around a supermarket like they're in a maze of some kind.
Right. Well, how could we have ever known?
While we're talking about in-house romance, the situation for some reason this year seems to be falling in love with Snooki.
What?
I can't explain it at all, but she got a boyfriend now back home, and the situation, he's trying to look for every opportunity he can to sort of break them up. And when there's a phone call, there's a fight between Gianni and Snooki. Situation's ready to pounce.
If Gianni can't make Snooki happy, you know what? The situation's happy to step up to the plate and hit a homer.
Yeah. How? She looked like she'd been hit with a baseball bat a lot, so it's appropriate analogy.
How does what? Anybody want Snooki?
I do not know.
And this isn't even a case of just proximity. Sometimes you'll end up with your roommate just because she's convenient. But situation is out all the time and has lots of other better options. You I don't think, get it either.
You think.
But she is special.
Nope.
Like the Special Olympics.
Yep.
And they get a phone call last episode, last night, where everything changes for them because now they know what they're going to be doing all summer.
We're going to be working for him in a pizzeria, and we have to go there today at 3 o'clock.
So we should probably leave now.
Yo, working in a pizzeria, bro.
Yeah. Listen, MTV, we have all read the articles. We know you're paying them like $20,000 an episode to be on this show. Can we stop pretending they need to get a summer job in order to live wherever they are? Whether it's selling T-shirts on the boardwalk or doing whatever, scooping gelato in Miami and working in a pizza. They got more money than any of us.
Yeah,
they
right,
don't need
true.
A summer job. Yeah. It's boring to us, and it's a lie, and we're not fools. So cut out the pizzeria, just give them more booze, and give them some handguns, and let's get on with it.
Right on.
Damn. Oh, we have to go to work. They're not working. No one is expecting them to work. The pizzeria guy's getting paid to let them stand around and take a movie and buy in the pizza oven. They're not really working. Stop yeah. it. Stop it. Stop lying to us. All right, I feel okay. better now.
Good, good.
They're in Florence, Italy this season. That's where they are. And for some reason, every church that they pass in Florence, Italy, one of them will point and ask this question.
Is this the Vatican?
Yeah, I think so.
It's so nice.
It's not the Vatican.
The Vatican is not in Florence.
No, the Vatican is not in Florence.
Hard to miss.
Here's
too.
The thing about the Vatican. It's not even in Rome.
Right, right.
The Vatican, right. Boys and girls of the Jersey Shore, have its own damn city built right. around it. That's how big-ass the Vatican. If you pass the Vatican, you will goddamn well know it. Stop pointing at every rinkety-dink little-ass church you see on every street corner and asking if that is the Vatican.
Oh, my
you
God.
You stupid white people.
That's why you love this show.
God damn. Is that the Vatican? Is that the Vatican? Yeah, that's the Oh, that's nice. That Vatican, nice. That's got to be 30 feet tall. That is nice, that
that's
Vatican.
That's beautiful.
And then last night, the debate and who painted it. Oh, I think Leonardo da Vinci painted the Vatican. No, it was Michelangelo painted the Vatican. Nobody painted the Vatican, okay?
Yeah, they're confused.
Oh, well, situation. He gets drunk last night.
What?
He finally starts opening up his heart to Snooki. Oh. He's going to bare his soul because I know the situation. Everyone says, oh, look at him. He's a big fake dumbass. But he's got feelings, too. He got a heart beating in those, under those ripped abs of his. And here he is. Talking to
Snooki. I care for you more than a friend, you know? I mean, I respect you as a boyfriend. But, like, I've grown to, like, love your personality. And, like, love you as a person, you know?
You know we're really good friends, and that's it.
Yeah, well, I see the way you look at me.
Turned down by Snooki!
Wow.
Wait, didn't you tell us last week, LaQuisha, that they hooked up sometime in the hiatus?
Yes. They did, but
so one time
Snooki,
only.
It was just a drunken sex moment.
Okay, all right.
He's got no feelings for him that way.
When How Snooki turns you down, you yeah. should fall on the sword.
You should. You should just go to the pizzeria and throw yourself in the oven.
Right.
Turn up high. And, of course, because it's Jersey Shore, at the end of the episode last night, Ronnie and Sam looking to get back together again.
Sure.
I'm so glad, because I was missing their constant fighting and drunken debauchery. So Sammy's all drunk, and she comes up to Ronnie. She wants to start things up again. But Ronnie has a glimmer of sanity, and he may be able to resist falling back into the same old pattern.
I know the way she feels, and, like, I kind of have feeling for her, too. I do still love her. But, like, I just go back to Jersey, and I'm just like, me and
with a spike bat. I'd rather not do that.
Yeah, he'd rather have a spike bat shoved up his butt than go back into that situation with Sammy.
That's the first sane thing that any of these people have said.
And I would like to volunteer to make that come true for all of them. Damn this show.
LaQuisha, you're the best.
Damn you for making me watch it.
You love it. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye now. Bye now.
The great Penn Jillette joins us in studio right after the top of the hour here on The Kevin Amin Show, one of our favorite guests. Very excited that Penn's coming back in. Right now, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Before I get to Showbiz News, I do have some more passes to give away to the very special Kevin and Bean advance screening of Fright Night. Happens Tuesday, August the 16th, and then the movies in theaters everywhere Friday, August the 19th. If you'd like to go, I've got three pairs of passes to give away right now to the first three callers at 1-800-520-1067. It's just that simple. Call in. Be the first one of three callers, and then you'll get the passes, and you get to see Fright Night, which looks really good. I'm looking forward to it. Spider-Man news. Andrew Garfield, who plays the web spinner in the upcoming Spider-Man movie, The Amazing Spider-Man, has decided to do some theater next.
Ooh.
He's going to be starring in Death of a Salesman on Broadway. How about that?
Wow.
I saw part of that once.
Yeah, you and I went to see that, Kevin, together.
We're in New York.
In the middle of the show, you hear Kevin just sawing logs in the fourth row. Just loud, snoring loudly.
Well, we had been out for a long time the night before.
Right, and we're watching one of the great pieces of American theater. Like, really one of the best plays.
It was dark and cold.
Of the modern dramatic era.
It was dark and cold, and I'd been up all night
and
drinking.
Brian Dennehy's just rocking it on stage, just blowing it up as Willie Loman. Ron Eldred as his son. Just some amazing performances, riveting performances. You could not take your eyes off them on stage, but apparently you could, and then you closed your eyes, and then you
And I felt really well. I got a good nap.
Sleeping. Philip Seymour Hoffman will be playing the role of Willie Loman on stage in this production.
Just him?
Just him. Hmm. And they got some hack to direct the whole thing by the name of Mike Nichols. He apparently will be directing the show.
So. Is that guy?
Dear Lisa.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like, oh my God, now
he has to go change your panties now.
I need to see it for the first time.
Janie Lane, former lead singer for the band Warrant, has passed away. He was found by police last night in a motel locally here in Los Angeles area. No official cause for death yet. However, they did find boxes and boxes of empty cherry pop.
Come on, you can't even get that out.
You had no confidence in that joke. None.
I did. I just did. It came out wrong from the beginning. And
the
fact
that
laugh.
You pulled the ripcord before the end means it doesn't go in the file.
Stacks and stacks, not boxes and boxes. Stacks and stacks of empty cherry pie boxes.
I think that was good. You bailed on it.
Oh, love that song.
Yeah.
That's a classic hair band song, right?
It is a classic. Now, Warrant, he hasn't been with Warrant for a long, long time.
He left after that album. He split up, but then they got back together again recently, from 2004 through 2007 or 8, something like that. And then he left again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, they never recaptured that success. Heaven. It was another hit song, I guess, they have off that same album.
Heaven, yeah.
Yeah. But sad news, 47 years old, very young. I don't know what the deal was there. But
what did they find at the scene? Anything, Ralph?
Stacks and stacks of empty cherry pie boxes. That's what I heard.
No cause of death.
He might have overdosed on cherry pie is what I'm
saying. That's good stuff. Thank you very much, sir.
You're very, very welcome.
I'm saying you're not even proud of that.
I'm tired. That's what I'm saying.
Do you ever listen to yourself?
Rarely. And now we know who will be the Roastmaster General for the Charlie Sheen Roast on Comedy Central on September the 19th. Seth MacFarlane has been tapped to serve as the Roastmaster.
It's going to be amazing.
Seth was also the MC for the David Hasselhoff Roast and the Donald Trump Roast, so he's got some experience there and does a pretty good job with it.
He was a pussy.
Oh, come on, Charlie.
Say that about Seth.
I'm going to say the same thing I said about Hasselhoff, which is how do you parody or make fun of somebody who's such a cartoon?
Yeah, usually it's better if you take someone a little more serious, then you can have more fun with it, but we've already heard most of the jokes, right?
Yeah. I don't have any interest. I love Seth MacFarlane, but I have no interest.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Casey Affleck is 36 years old today. Rebecca Gayhart celebrates her 40th birthday. Michael Ian Black is 40 as well. Peter Krause turns 46 today. And Sir Mix-a-Lot celebrates his 48th birthday. I bet he's going to have a lot of girls at his party.
And I bet you they're going to have big butts.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Yeah, when a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough, because you notice that butt was stuffed. Deep in the jeans she's wearing. I'm hooked, and I can't stop staring. Oh, baby.
Mugs is in the back of the room.
Take your picture of every word, every dance move.
But you got me.
Makes me so horny. Ooh,
my smooth skin. You see, when I get my bands.
You're a horrible dancer, by the way. Mug dance is like one of those floppy men outside of like a car dealership. You know, it's just like
it's filled up with air.
Yeah, it's got a fan going. It's just the arms are going everywhere. It's one of those inflatable guys. Hey, come on and check our great prices. He's just all over the place like a big dork. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Every once in a while, we'll try to make the show funny. We'll bring in a funny guy. Today, we're trying to make the show smart. And that's why our friend Penn Jillette in studio from the Penn and Teller Show at the Rio Hotel and Casino, Las Vegas. Penn, how you been, buddy? Welcome back.
Never been better, boss.
Good to see you. You're operating on next to no sleep, so I have a great deal of respect for you.
You know, I just, you know, I write my my Twitter feed, and I try to say something a little bit interesting. And this morning, the most interesting thing I came up with was, you know, boy, I'm tired.
Well, sometimes that's all you got.
That's all you got. Yeah. That's it. That's the end of it for today was, boy, I'm tired.
Yeah.
But, you know, we talked to our friend Dr. Drew about this all the time because he's like you. He's at 1.5 million plus of Twitter followers. And it terrifies him. He's concerned that he's wasting too many people's times if he's got nothing to say. Apparently that doesn't bother you at all.
Not at all. No, not one bit. I can tell people that I'm tired. You know, I don't know. You know, the real numbers on the followers are not true. You know,
oh, is that right?
It is the exact number of people who signed up to follow you.
Right.
It is not the number of people who are actually reading it.
Oh, I see.
And
sure.
You should tell Dr. Drew that if people are busy, they won't bother with him. They really won't. It's not that they are promising that every single thing he writes they will read. It's just they one time thought they would read one thing by him, right. And that is there in the one point. Now, of course, if you have 20 followers, it's also only one of them is reading it.
Correct.
But
that's
a good point. So 1.6... all the numbers stay relatively the same.
Okay.
But I don't think you have to worry about wasting
people's
time.
So if you have something great, like this is my best tweet ever, do you then put it up again in 10 hours? You know,
no,
12
I
hours?
I don't usually do that.
I'm just saying, you get a new follower.
No, but I mean, if
crowd.
You have something that is, that the world decides, not that you think is great,
right.
But the world decides is great, then they retweet it and it goes out and
I see.
It
okay.
gets found out that way. It's kind of.
I don't think I have any of those.
You have to be very careful. You know, you cannot judge. You know, when a new writer goes on Letterman, you know, and they turn in about 100 jokes a day, and out of those 100 jokes, 3 or 4 are chosen if they're really successful.
Right.
Know? And
wow.
then the next day, it's another 100.
Those are real numbers?
Yeah.
Wow.
And if you're getting 3 or 4 on the show, you're successful and have your job. If it drops down to 0 or 1, you're doing badly. If it's up to 4 or 5, you're on a roll. But it's about 100 you're going to turn in a day, right?
Wow.
And,
that's interesting.
About 100 jokes. And I guess there's only one writer that told me this story, but he said it was universal, that you will... early on, cannot believe that one of your great jokes has been rejected.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
And he said, how could he not do that one?
Yeah, this is perfect. This
right.
is the most perfect Letterman joke ever written. And he said, then you'll resubmit it. Which you're really told not to do.
Right.
But of course it's a group of people, like you have an indie working situation, and the rules are not cast in iron. So you go back and go, here it is again, Dave. And then he says, Dave almost always does it.
Is that
really? And he said, then you're sitting backstage, and he said, Dave gives it everything he's got on that joke, and it doesn't go. It doesn't stop the show. You know, it doesn't like, everybody just stand up and cheer, and they don't add another hour of the show for them to laugh. And Dave just kind of does the joke, and it goes by.
Just throws it away, and it's done.
And you never do that again.
Oh,
you
wow.
never put a joke. And that's where I think if you put another tweet up like that, and it didn't change the world, then you have to accept the fact that what you did might have been good, but not supernaturally
not great.
Good. Yeah.
I think we've learned a valuable lesson here today.
I do too.
Let me tell you, this is the voice of Penn Jillette, like you can't recognize him out of any crowd here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk about the book in a second. But one of the reasons I enjoy you so much, Penn, first of all, you're one of the smartest people that we ever have on the program, and that's just fun for me.
That's but also damning with faint praise, but thank you.
Yeah. Compared to what, right? Yeah.
If we were in Stockholm in the green room for the Nobel Prize, that would mean something different.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
Hey, we've had the situation on the show, so there is some actual competition, all right? But the other thing that I was going to say that it fascinates me about you is that you are a guy who enjoys life so much and seems to be so interested in so many different types of things. I mean, you're a guy who a guy could come up to you on the street and want to talk religion for an hour, or want to talk politics for an hour, or want to talk art for an hour, or want to talk NASA for an hour. You just, I mean, there's probably not enough hours in the day for a guy like you to indulge all of your pleasures, right?
Well, no, there's a lot of stuff I'm interested in. It's a big, interesting world. But try me on sports sometime.
Not so much.
That's not your area, huh?
We once had, Teller and I once spent a half an hour together backstage trying to name five baseball teams and where they were from.
Wow.
No.
How long? An hour?
A half an hour.
Half an hour.
And Lisa could do that.
The crew was listening to us, and we started out on a roll. I mean, Boston Red Sox.
One.
And that was it for a while. And then we finally ended up naming five, but one was a football team.
Oh, that's so awesome.
It's a sports category.
We are very, very, you know, I've always been a huge guy. So I was 6'7" in high school and big, and also had very good hand-eye coordination. So they tried very hard to force me into sports.
Of course.
And my reaction was exactly the opposite. So I've never even watched a game all the way through. I just really, really had this horrible reaction to it. I do understand that I'm missing a lot, but I just haven't ever crossed
that. Do you think it's because you were so big and yet got forced on you so much when you were young?
My dad was not a big sports guy.
That makes
a big
difference too.
Probably something genetic there as well as environmental. But, you know, I went out for basketball one day in ninth grade, and I was pretty good at, you know, making shots and so on, because I'd played in my backyard with the other children. And I missed like an easy shot.
Right.
And the coach came up and hit me in the arm. He said, "Why'd you miss that shot?" I said, "Did you just hit me? I hate being hit. I don't want to be hit." And then I began swearing at him, don't you hit me again. And he said, "You don't talk like this or I'll have you off the team." I said, "I've quit. I'm gone." And he was my math teacher. And for the rest of the year in algebra, I got perfect grades on all my tests and was given a D at the end of the year.
I
guess the way to say this without using any words that I don't want to use is he questioned my sexuality. Because I wouldn't play basketball.
Right.
And had real trouble with my hair being long. So I think maybe that one incident had something to do with me not wanting to play basketball. And the second tallest kid in the school went on to go to UMass and be a big basketball guy. And he used to threaten me, you know, if you come out for basketball, we're going to have trouble because I'm going to be the guy.
Oh,
and I would say,
sure,
you don't worry about that. It's so easy when someone threatens you.
Sure.
You know, takes a gun to your head and says, "Listen, don't you stay underwater for 40 minutes with nothing to do." Okay, fine. And I don't want you. I tell you, we're going to beat you up if you're watching the Weather Channel for more than 20 hours tomorrow. Done.
That was my plan, but I'll change it now.
Penn Jillette is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The book is called God No! Signs You May Already Be an Atheist and Other Magical Tales. Now, people are going to see that title and perhaps think that that's what the whole book is about. But it's really, it's a potpourri of stories from your long, adventurous life, right?
Yeah, you know, one of the things, you know, is a lot of people would just ask me, because atheism, although growing at incredible speeds, is still a little bit exotic. You know, it's still a little bit like, you know, "I've never met a Jew before. What do you people eat?" So I still get asked questions. And a lot of it is just, you know, I wanted to talk a lot about my children and stuff like that and what it's like to just live a godless life, I guess you could say. And, the title is provocative, and I think you're supposed to do that on books.
can I tell you, before we break here, I didn't get the books yesterday. I apologize. I'm looking forward to devouring the whole thing, but the first chapter that I read, because I don't like to start at the beginning, is a chapter where you end up getting your penis caught in a blow dryer. And I thought, you know, this is not a story that I expected to find in a book with this title.
Yeah, okay, yeah. But I think that if you postulate a world with a loving, benevolent, all-knowing God, you do not drop your penis into a blow dryer. I mean, maybe that is what you think is off subject, maybe exactly the subject. Because I'll tell you, when the tip of my penis hit the burning element the blow dryer and stuck and began being being flame broiled like a Hardee's burger, and I smelled the smell of burning flesh in the blow dryer, I did not think of benevolent salvation from an omnipotent being.
But so if I believe in God, that'll never happen to me?
If that's true, then this book, they're being recalled right now. Hold on to your copy. It's going to be $1,000 on eBay in no time. Yeah.
Here's what I'm saying. When I said penis caught in a blow dryer, that wasn't a euphemism. That was literally a penis caught in a blow dryer. We'll talk more with our guest Pendulum when we return.
What would that be a euphemism for?
I don't want to know. We'll come back on the Kevin and Bean. Our friend Penn Jillette in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, author of a new book called God No. Am I reading that right with the exclamation point?
There's one thing they always say about you. You can handle a bang.
That's correct.
They say Bean can handle a bang.
I don't think anyone's ever said that, but all right.
No, I've seen it tattooed on bikers' asses. Can handle a bang, it says right there.
I believe that words mean things, and I believe that punctuation is important. So when you go to the effort to put an exclamation point in your title, God damn it, I'm going to read it. Okay?
I bet you're the man who can handle an interrobang, too, right?
I got no problem with that.
Yeah, because I love the interrobang. You know, that's the question.
I don't know what's happening right now.
Yes.
That's a question mark and exclamation point combined.
I got you.
There's an actual icon for that called the interrobang. Okay. For what?
What? It really is perfect.
Whisko Tango Foxtrot? Whiskey Tango Foxtrot? You know, it's that. It's
sure.
that. And sometimes it's needed.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because we never have enough time with you, Penn. I saw that your partner, Mr. Teller, had an injury the other day. And he was saying, and I don't remember where I read this, but he cut his hand or something like that, but he couldn't put a Band-Aid on because that screws up the act. He couldn't do some of the tricks with a Band-Aid.
It's probably on his Twitter feed, which I subscribe to, but don't read. As previously mentioned. But Teller did. We're doing this new show for Disco. Now, you probably know the network as Discovery.
Okay, yes.
But it's abbreviated Disco.
Disco, okay.
And I think calling it the Disco Network, kind of like Federal Express went to FedEx, Coca-Cola went to... I think going to Disco is a good idea.
Okay.
And we were doing a... the show is called Penn and Teller Tell a Lie, and it'll be out in the fall on the Disco Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing every time we do seven science segments on the show,
right?
And one of them is a lie. And one of the surprising ones we were doing was that piranha will not kill you. If you go into a tank full of piranha, they will not attack you. They don't care. And that's just a myth. And
so is it a lie or not a lie?
This was
true.
Okay. That piranha are safe.
Okay.
And it was all actually native people in Aboriginal people in South America who were lying to Teddy Roosevelt.
Okay.
They set up this whole thing and lied to him about piranha because he was a very boisterous American and they wanted to punk him.
Okay.
So they did this stuff with a menstruating cow and trapping piranha in this area and then pulling out another skeleton. So they give him this fall. And then there's become this basic idea.
That was my understanding. Yeah.
So the idea was we're going to do this thing where we drop Teller into a tank full of piranha. And that's the big punchline to the whole show. And we're there recording, and you know, you have to have all these permits to get that many piranha, and there's like four handlers, and this big, beautiful tank lit from, you know, every angle and looks beautiful, and Teller's like suspended over it. And the gag is that Teller has to escape from a straitjacket or he'll be dropped into the piranha. He escapes from the straitjacket and then just jumps in because it's harmless, and that's the punchline. Okay, so there's a little change up there. So we're about to go from him escaping, which he's done and done it all the time, and I've done all my speak, and I'm on like a cherry picker up next to the top of the tank where he's going to go in. And then Teller decides, while we're relighting and resetting, as you know there are, changing the battery on my mic,
sure.
Teller is sitting in the tank, and he's sitting on the edge of the tank, and he's dangling his feet in.
Right. Okay.
Now, he hasn't been dropped into the tank, right? And he's not out of the tank. He's dangling his feet, like, right. You know, like Andy in Mayberry or something.
Right.
You know, he's just dangling his feet and his toes. And all of a sudden, Teller starts screaming and swearing and yelling. And he pulls his foot out of the water and it's just shooting blood out. Oh. So, of course, everybody on the set panics. Except me, who begins laughing hysterically. And I'm laughing so hard. It is so funny that these schmucks who are talking about science and are so full of themselves are talking about how piranha aren't dangerous. And then one of the idiots dangles his feet in, and now he's arterially bleeding from his toe. I mean, really, this is the definition of comedy to me, right? It's it is hubris. It is pride cometh before the fall. It's just perfect. And Teller is screaming.
Did he appreciate your laughing?
Not immediately. Okay.
now it's hilarious.
No, it wasn't even now. It was just this great thing where all the crew is running in as though it's an emergency. I am doubled over laughing with not a bit of concern. Because really, how many people have died from a cut on their toe? You know, if you don't have diabetes, you have medical attention.
Right. Sure.
That's not likely.
Yeah.
So I don't feel any real danger. And also, and most important, let me underline this, it's not me.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
So I'm screaming laughing. And Teller really takes about, I mean, to be perfectly fair to him, it's probably maybe 3 beats where he's screaming obscenities.
Right.
And then it goes to laughing. So now Teller is laughing hysterically. Blood is dripping into the piranha water. And they're going, which is great. The crew is going, what happened? Because the crew believes us that they're harmless. They still believe us. So what happened? He's dangled his feet into a tank of piranha.
Right.
Now he's bleeding. What could have possibly happened? Was there a bolt going through the glass that had to be? What could have possibly happened? And it turns out that if you are big in the water, that piranha are afraid of you.
Okay.
But it turns out if you're wiggling your toes like so much little chum in the water, that looks attractive to them. And they took it, and their razor sharp teeth,
sure.
And it was a completely clean, like scalpel incision.
Oh my God.
And so
we were shooting at night, and Teller calls his doctor. You know, and he has the number because he's a big star.
Sure.
He has a cell phone number of his doctor in case, you know, he needs to get, you know, Michael Jackson sleep drugs at 4 a.m.
Hey, if anyone needs it, it's Teller.
Whatever
Let's
you
be
need.
Honest.
Whatever you need. So he calls his doctor at like midnight and says, you know, I have a cut on my toe. The doctor goes, okay, why are you waking me up? He goes, well, I was bitten by a piranha. And the doctor just goes, put some hydrogen peroxide on it and bandage it. Bye. You know, Teller's also thinking maybe there's magic piranha spit.
Poison.
Yeah,
yeah.
Poison.
Some
yeah.
kind of poison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it healed up right away. But Teller, I mean, we were just hysterical. I mean, we could hardly get back to shooting because, you know, people ask us all the time. We do a show like BS.
Mm-hmm,
should I tell a lie? They always call up and say, you know, have you guys ever been wrong? I mean, you research this stuff carefully. Have you guys ever been wrong? And yes, the answer is yes. And all the time. But not so perfectly, diagrammatically. See, piranha are harmless. Watch.
It was as if you set it up to be a comedy joke.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
That's
so,
fantastic.
You know, and the director's going, you know, we need to do pickup shots so people don't see this. And I go, what are you talking about?
Teller, awesome.
We change it, so yeah. We take out that stuff. Cameras were running. Mics were on.
Use it.
I want Teller swearing and bleeding after we've done this whole thing of, we are smarter than Teddy Roosevelt.
That's amazing.
That is sweet.
That, by the way, a well-told story, and if that's what you're looking for, you can't do wrong with Penn's new book called God No! Signs You May Already Be an Atheist and Other Magical Tales. You can read Penn talking about the joys of sex while scuba diving, about being weightless in space with Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top. I mean, the guy lives a colorful and interesting life. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And
I love that you leaned on the with Billy Gibbons and left out the naked and vomiting into my hair. But thank you for that.
Yes. And that was going to be a surprise.
You forced it in.
And by the way, here's what a player pet is, by the way. He tried to have sex with a hot blonde that he met in space. He tried to have sex with her while they were weightless just because they could.
Well, you know, how many options do you have? You got to take an opportunity.
It's him or Billy Gibbons. What are you going to do?
And I'm telling you, I was once on an airplane that was doing an emergency landing. We thought we were going to be crashing. And I said to the gay flight attendant, I said to him, I said, you know, I haven't experienced gay sex, and I'm going to before we crash, and it's going to be with you.
Was he happy about that or no?
He thought it was a joke.
Okay.
And we laughed together. But I'm telling you, I was able to play it as a joke afterwards. But you know the feeling of having something that in your heart comes out and then you decide maybe we'll play it as a joke now?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
But I'm
right,
just saying, if you and I were in space,
there
would be negotiation about what sexual position we'd be doing. There would not be negotiation on if. It would just be on how.
I'm guessing there would be no negotiation at all if it was you and I. You would tell me, and then I would just do it.
Yeah, you're in, right. And, of course, don't miss the great Penn & Teller live stage show in Las Vegas at the Rio Hotel and Casino. Go to PennandTeller.com for all the great details. Penn, thanks for coming in, man. Always a pleasure, sir.
Always a pleasure.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin & Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, we've got the title. Is this thing screwed on right? We've got the title for the new Coldplay CD has been announced. Coldplay today announced their new CD name.
Tasty White Guys?
Turns out that Chris Martin is as good at naming albums as he is his children.
Uh-oh. Is it a fruit?
And it's not. It's not Apple, okay. Which he punished his daughter with. But the name of the CD is Milo Xyloto.
All right, say it again.
Milo Xyloto.
I don't even know what that is.
Or Milo Xyloto.
All right.
Milo Xyloto.
Is that a scientific name, an enzyme or something crazy like that, or just a made-up word?
We've got
the team working on it?
We've got the team working on it. We're trying to break it down now.
The scientist down on the second floor?
It's pronounced, according to Chris, Milo Xyloto. Yeah, Milo Xyloto.
All right. I'll call it the new Coldplay CD. Yeah.
Milo Xyloto.
Interesting. What's the point of that?
Just to stick a red hot poker right up where we live, just to make our lives miserable.
Well, we have to say it, so we're hurt more than most.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So there you go, Coldplay fans. Look out for Milo Xyloto. While we're talking about music, Janie Lane, lead singer for Warrant, found last night at a motel in Woodland Hills, California, just outside California here. Passed away at the age of 47 years old. No official cause of death has been released, but 47, motel.
Yeah.
It doesn't scream skiing accident.
No. You know? No.
I'm just telling you, of all things your mind jumps to, sadly.
Mine didn't jump to skiing accident.
It didn't?
No.
No. Snow of a different kind, perhaps.
Yeah.
He had a substance abuse problem. He's had a couple DUIs, but great band at one time. Great front man. For Warrant back in the day, and of course their smash hit was Cherry Pop. She's my cherry pie. Cool drink of water, such a sweet surprise. Tastes so good, make the grown man cry. Sweet cherry pie. Yeah. So if you can find some time in your day, just pause a moment and give a kind thought to the man who gave us one of the greatest stripper songs ever.
That's true.
When a girl comes up to the stage and that starts, I know I'm in for a good time.
It has been suggested and on the internet today, and I think this is an excellent idea for reals, is that strip clubs should be required to fly their flags at half staff today.
Yeah.
Do strip clubs have flags?
Nope. But excellent point, Bean. Thanks for adding that. We're really glad.
Trying to put that together.
I'm at half staff right now just thinking about that song and being in a strip club. But got nothing to do with flag. Oh! Oh!
Giggity.
Stop
Giggity.
It! Stop it! You're so risque! The Kardashians are bad.
Yes.
True.
Have you seen the video, the new, the Kris Kardashian video, Kris Jenner?
The I Love My Friends?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's pretty spectacular.
We put that in the Internet Roundup this week, so if you haven't seen it, go to kevinandbean.com, and it is...
It's from 1985. She's 30 years old. She made a tribute video to herself on her birthday, as you're wont to do, when you're a helpless narcissist. And it's great. OJ makes an appearance. Lovely. He's got a cameo in it, which I thought was nice.
I love OJ.
Yeah, I'm just glad he's showing his open hands to the camera when he makes his cameo. So at least you know you're safe. He's not coming at you with a letter opener or anything.
So many white women out there that OJ could have killed. Why couldn't it have been Kris Jenner?
Yeah, I know. So many choices.
Right.
Anyway, Kim Kardashian has her own video now. She's on red carpet talking about how she's making plans for this upcoming nightmare of a wedding that this poor guy's going to have to go through. Kris Jenner, her mom, is in charge of it. Kris Humphries, Kim's soon-to-be husband, his family feels completely left out in the cold because no one will take their advice and no one will help them participate. It's all Kris Jenner and E! The network is running the wedding.
Great!
Which is really what you want on one of the most important romantic days of your life, is to make sure you get clearance from the Ryan Seacrest network.
Right.
So, here's Kim talking about it on the red carpet about making her plans.
I'm actually like in a really calm state. I flew to New York last night. I took the red. I landed at 8 a.m., had a meeting for wedding stuff, flew back at noon. I spent 11 hours in a plane just to have like a three-hour meeting, but it was worth it.
No, it's not. And that doesn't make us feel bad for you, Kim. Like, wow, you're such a hectic lifestyle. Just makes you sound like a rich douchebag.
Yeah, why does that make sense to her as being a way to live?
I don't know. I'm just glad she's got psoriasis.
I'm just glad that every story on Access Hollywood still is over a rape bed.
They did.
What is that all about?
Maybe all their listeners are on E and we're not aware of it. And that works for them.
No, Kim Kardashian's on E. The Extra's on a completely different network.
No,
I think
I'm
it's syndicated.
Never mind.
I think the Extra studios are over a disco. I think they can't help it.
It's just bleed through.
When their records just bleed through when they do their show, you can't help but hear it.
I hate
I'm actually
her
like in a really calm state. I flew to New York last night.
I should get a vodka Red Bull and tab of ecstasy.
I hated her so much when I saw her say that, by the way. I
hate her all the time, except when she's just in a photo looking at me with those eyes and those boobs.
Is she the way that she is?
She's hot, though.
When you marry her, you marry that whole family. You marry the E! Network. You marry everything.
You marry Seacrest?
Yep. Yeah. Well, finally, Seacrest and get married. That'd be nice. Today's celebrity birthday is Casey Affleck. Actor, director, brother of Ben. He is 36.
Did he direct Gone Baby Gone? That awesome, awesome, awesome
movie?
No,
that was Ben.
Oh, that was Ben. All right. What did Casey do?
Casey.
Casey did Casey do
He did the documentary with Joaquin Phoenix, I'm Still Here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm talking about good stuff that he did.
No,
he
had by all accounts, that was well directed. Not a great subject matter, but a well-made film. So.
I just remember when the assassination of Jesse James, that's where I really stood up and took notice of Casey Affleck. What a terrific actor he is.
Yeah. Rebecca Gayhart's 40 years old today. Michael Ian Black turns 40. Peter Krause is 46 years old today. And Sir Mix-a-Lot, he's 48.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny.
Sounds like an Extra story.
Kim Kardashian was on the red carpet today. We were able to talk to her about her upcoming wedding plans.
I had to fly 11 hours just for a three-hour meeting. I couldn't believe it.
All right, back to you, Mario Lopez. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday. We got Harvey Levin. We have one of the guys from Whisker Wars coming in on Monday morning. See you then.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Gay. Gay.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What?
Roll another one.
Marijuana's bad.
Just like.
That's exactly what I was talking about.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
I need another hit.
Yep.
That didn't play, sorry.
Remix.
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 Roll.
Like a Polaroid picture.
Seems to be about to end.
Don't never ever trust
I don't
Whitey.
Have another
Taco Bell gonna make money off of that.
Cleveland.
Steamer.
Oh, yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
I am extremely hairy.
And out.